about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Time to release the Kraken.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I do sound entirely drunk. It's 5:53. I'm not drunk.
Yeah,
I need to do the Dave plan next time.
What?
I need to do the Dave plan next time. I'm not drunk. And we'll continue. And we'll continue on the Kevin and Bean Show. What just happened?
Call me Mr. Brightside, but I think we're making some serious progress here.
And now,
you know the best thing for a hangover is weed. Do you smoke weed?
Not really.
You don't?
No.
At all?
Mm-mm.
Like in the morning?
No, I just don't.
You know, it is like the best medicine. Because it fixes everything.
Our feature presentation.
That's true, by the way. That is an accurate fact.
Yes, it
Hello?
Is.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hi.
It's an accurate fact. The weed. Who's with me?
Well, we're just listening to you.
Do I sound weird?
You sound like you might be drunk today.
No, how dare you. It's a permanent condition that I have now. It's drunk sounding guy.
It's like complaining that Dick Clark sounds like he had a stroke.
Right.
At some point, it's just pointless to bring it up anymore.
Right. What do you want from me? I sound drunk. That's it. That's me.
That's what you're saying. I got you.
Yeah. All right,
party people. It is feels like a Monday, but it's actually a Tuesday. It is the 18th of January. Thank you for tuning in to an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Here's a story that concerns me greatly. It's out of Portage, Utah, and it involves a young woman who sent a boy a naked photo. So far, so good, right?
Well, how old?
That's interesting you should ask that question, because that's at the crux of this story, and that's why the story is in the news.
Yeah.
Her name is Angelica Nicholson. So she sent a naked photo to a boy, and the boy's girlfriend found the naked photo on his phone.
Oh.
So she engineered a way to remove that naked photo from the phone and put it up on her Facebook page and talk about what a slut the girl was for sending a naked picture to her boyfriend.
Oh,
great.
Boy.
So, Miss Angelica, she's not down with that, so she's now mortified and terrified and horrified and all the other fights. So she calls the police and she says, hey, she calls Facebook, tries to get them to take it down, and it takes a while for them to move on it, and she's getting frustrated and concerned at this point because the photo is still up. So she calls the police and she says, hey, I'm 17. This is against the law. You've got to move in on this.
Interesting.
Well, she's not 17. She's 18. That was what she was trying to do to get them to take the photo down. So she lied about her age, figuring they would move on it now.
Liar!
So she's 18. So the police officer who responds to the call and is typing up the paperwork on it and is, you know, pulling information on all the parties involved, you know, looks up her information and sees that she's 18. So they go out and take a visit and arrest her. And she's in jail awaiting bail for filing a false police report.
Oh,
what
my
a
gosh.
Dumbass.
Now, here my whole thing. Don't arrest chicks for making false police reports if it's about putting, you know, getting naked pictures onto the internet. Encourage that. Say, sweetie, you're 18. Send more photos. Do something other than come down on her for this.
Well, she said she was 17. That makes it a crime, right, to put it up?
Right.
Right, but she's not 17. So right, she's stupid, but don't discourage her. Don't make her mad. Don't upset her. Don't do bad things to her. She started off on the right foot. Encourage that. Encourage the good behavior, not the bad behavior. Right?
So part of her sentence should be send more photos. She needs to send five more photos.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't arrest somebody in a case like this. Look,
wow.
You don't want the kind of girl who's going to send naked pictures to some guy is not the kind of girl to make sad. That is not what we should be encouraging. Am I right? Come on, who's with me on this?
Well, just judging by what she's doing, that's all she's got, because she's not real smart.
It's a little touchy, though, Bean, because the dude, you know, all of a sudden the police are looking at him.
Right.
Because she's underage, so that's not good. I mean, you can't encourage that.
Well, I mean, it sounds like it was discovered fairly early on after the false police report that she was not, in fact, underage.
Yeah.
So it sounds like everybody's off the hook but her. And I'm just saying, she gets a pass on this.
Well, here's the other thing. The dude who's an idiot, you don't put pictures of a girl that she sent you, if they're naked pictures, on Facebook, because that would also discourage her from sending you pictures. Right? I mean, I know he's sharing and all.
But remember, it was his girlfriend that went in and got the picture and put it on Facebook, not the dude.
Oh, remember that part of the story? Dude's girlfriend that put it on. I see. I got you. I thought he did. Oh, I got you.
She was pissed at her for sending the photos. That's why she put them up on Facebook.
I got you.
When you started talking about how she lied about being underage, the whole time all I could think about is how much did that dude freak out? Where he's like, yeah, okay. What? She's 17. What do you mean?
She said 18. She said she was 18. I swear.
Anyway, so I'll keep an eye on that story and hope that she's back in the news over and over and over again. By the way, one more note before we hear about today's show. Miss America pageant was over the weekend. I know nobody watches, but it's notable because the new Miss America is 17 years old.
What? No kidding.
Yep.
I thought they had to be 18, no?
Apparently, they changed the rules decades ago, but she's the youngest one ever. I think you have to be 16, maybe. Maybe it's 17, but she's Miss Nebraska, and she was named Miss America on Saturday night, and she's 17 years old.
Why do they have Miss Teen America then?
Right. Great question. Don't know.
All right.
I got to think of all the places that she can't go as Miss America, though. That's the first thing I thought, is there have to be events that they go to where you have to be 18, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, I would definitely think so.
Down is one of them.
Down?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
What? What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
A very nice bar in San Francisco, Lisa. It's
yes,
down.
That's
yes.
The name of it. Down. Come on. Come on. You guys have dirty minds. It's your problem. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Abey Show, shall we?
That's very sad. Perhaps not the best choice of topic for a festive occasion.
Well, that's true. Bobby Slayton, Pitbull of Comedy on today's show.
All right.
Always funny. Always has a lot of energy. Yeah, he always tires us out and we don't even talk. He just comes in and he does his thing and we are exhausted at the end of it. LaQuisha will be here. I don't know if you saw, there was a special episode of Jersey Shore last night. And that show is just getting better. I mean, that show really is just firing on all cylinders. Yep. So that's coming
up. Did you watch
today.
It? Did you see this one?
I saw part of it, yeah. Yeah.
And was there bad behavior?
A little bit, yes. And there are a little bit of abs shown, and there was some cooking, and there was some fighting, okay. And there was a lot of arguing and yelling.
Huh. That sounds completely different for Jersey Shore. Can't wait.
There was police, and there was Snooki being mean to him. So you got all that. So LaQuisha will catch us up. I guess it was a special episode last night, and then again, it's regular night on Thursday night.
Well, it's what Dr. King would have wanted on his holiday.
That's right.
Is it a special episode of the Jersey Shore? I mean, that's really what he fought for.
It was a tribute. They spent a lot of time talking about that.
Sure.
No, not a second. We got Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited about that. Catch up with all the celebrity news. We have bizarre celebrity encounters. The celebrity encounter that we're going to tell you about today, I don't think it's possible to even get your head around. I'm still trying to figure out how it could possibly be true. But Bean's wife hung out with, I'll just give you this. Bean's wife hung out with the Dalai Lama. Now, that's not a celebrity that you normally hear, you know, hanging out.
How does that even happen?
That's a great question.
Wow.
She was at a nightclub. He was tearing it up. You know, that kind
of
thing.
Yeah, he's making it rain. He threw a lasso around her. It was made of diamonds. It was weird.
He was ripping. She was tearing. You know how it goes.
Sure. We have Nick 2.0 to talk to today. Apparently, he's been fired from his sign-holding job.
I don't have a job anymore. I don't know what to do. How do I get fired from a sign-holding job? You just have to hold a sign.
Poor Nick.
Apparently, he's been fired from that. So we're going to talk to him and find out exactly what went on with that.
It may not be his fault, by the way. These are tough times for lots of companies. There are a lot of people who are out of work that it's not their fault. They're good people. They're good workers.
Right, but if you had to put money on whether this was his fault or not, would you?
I don't know. I'm going to reserve judgment until we talk to him. But
not me. It's his fault.
Okay.
So I got that all figured out. Did the thing with Psycho Mike come through with the deal with
yes.
the thing? With the deal?
Yes. Uh-huh, TV Psycho Mike. It sure did.
It's going to be a fill-in for Regis on the Regis and Kelly Show.
That is awesome.
Hearing those words back still sounds wacky.
Yeah, well, it is. It's ridiculous.
Because you're filling in for Regis Philbin, by the way. In what way are you qualified to do that?
I'm not at all, but awesome.
We will discuss. And I have a bunch of challenges for you. I think we're going to have to put up some money, and we're going to have to challenge Mike to do some things on that program.
All right.
And we have a recap of the Golden Globes, which were 17 hours long on Sunday night.
Yeah.
Well, they always are, Kevin. You usually don't watch them, but nope. It's just a really, really long, mostly boring show, like all award shows.
They have categories that are ridiculous. They got best actor in a comedy, best actor in a musical, best actor in a drama, best actor TV, movies, and it goes on forever. But Ricky Gervais was the host. There were a few highlights, so we will discuss that as well. We'll take a break, and we will come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Here is a treat for you on the Kevin and Bean Show today. Yeah, we're going to make room for Santa Rita, of course. But how about new music from Rise Against? Just world premiered yesterday. Their latest is called Help Is On The Way from a forthcoming album called Endgame. It's been a couple of years since new Rise Against. I like that band. And I have not yet heard their new song, so I'm very excited. That's coming up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Ralph Garman joins us. Ralph, how was your weekend, man?
Magical. Spectacular. Resplendent. Let's talk about some tickets I have to give away before we get to the showbiz news. I've got a pair of passes right now to caller number 5 for the very special Kevin and Bean advance screening of The Mechanic, starring Jason Statham.
That's right, I'm the mechanic, and I fix things, and then I change your oil.
Either that or he's a professional assassin. I can't quite figure it out.
Somebody has to fix things when they break.
That's their slogan.
I'm pretty sure that's not it.
It's pretty close, Ralph. It's pretty close.
Ben Foster also co-stars along with Donald Sutherland. It's in theaters everywhere on Friday, January the 28th. But if you are the lucky winner and caller number 5 at 1-800-520-1067, you will get to see it on the 27th. So before anybody else gets to see The Mechanic,
you'll get to see The Mechanic with Jason Statham. That's right.
Okay, let's talk about showbiz babies. Owen Wilson, of course, kept his baby a secret. His baby Ford was born without anyone even knowing that his girlfriend was pregnant. But he's very much in love with his air marshal girlfriend, and so he better be or else she'll shoot him.
Yeah.
She can do so on a plane. Ford is the name of their baby boy, and Sandra Bullock, of course, famously kept her baby a secret, and she was adopting Louie. And now Keith Urban and Nicole Kidman have announced they've got a brand new daughter in their family. They brought her home on December the 28th. Faith Margaret Urban is her name. And apparently she was born via surrogate mother in Nashville. So congratulations to the new parents. Well, it is when you're married to a lesbian, you got to go out and get yourself a surrogate, you know. Because they don't want to get pregnant naturally.
Yeah.
Didn't they? They had a child together naturally a few years ago. Yeah.
Little, whatever you need to believe, Bean. Whatever you need to believe to make yourself feel better. Speaking of people who have questionable relationships, Ryan Reynolds and Sandra Bullock, people are still talking about them. Is it just a friendship or something more going on there? Well, tensions were high at the Golden Globes this weekend as Sandra Bullock and Scarlett Johansson, Ryan's estranged wife, showed up at the same ceremony wearing very similar gowns. Bad enough to share the same guy, but when you've got the same gown on, that.
It's even worse.
Apparently, they kept a distance from each other all night long because Scarlett is still uncomfortable with how quickly Ryan apparently has moved on to someone new, and apparently, they are not close. Sandra Bullock and Scarlett Johansson.
Alex, by the way, clearly a woman telling me that Sandra Bullock looked way better than Scarlett Johansson. No.
Yeah, that's never been true.
That's never been true, ever. Aww. Not one time.
Sandra Bullock had some funky hairdo going on there. She looked like Cher, 1975, with the bangs down hanging down in her eyes and all. I was like, wow.
I thought she was Moe from the Three Stooges when she walked out. Then I thought, well, he's dead. He wouldn't even be here anyway.
That's the process you went through. That's the
way to work through that one.
I thought maybe it was Moe from the Three Stooges.
Well, because she had the bangs all down in her eyes, and I was confused.
I felt bad for going back to 75 with a Cher reference until Bean came up with Moe from the 1930s.
He trumped you.
Speaking of the Golden Globes, it looks like Ricky Gervais will not be invited back to host the show this year.
What a surprise.
But he made so many friends, Ralph.
Members of the Hollywood Foreign Press Association are saying Ricky will not be invited back. Not for anything he said at the expense of celebrities.
Of course.
Sure.
That's not the reason. The reason is, you may remember, he took a shot at the president of the Hollywood Foreign Press Association.
He certainly did.
Was awesome.
Talked about having to help him off his toilet and popping his teeth in. Apparently the president was not pleased with that comment, and a member of the Foreign Press told the Hollywood Reporter, Ricky will not be invited back to host the show next year for sure. Any movie he makes, he can also forget about getting nominated. He humiliated the organization and went too far with several celebrities whose representatives have already started to complain. Well, they better complain about Robert De Niro then, too. He took a bigger shot at the Hollywood Foreign Press than Ricky Gervais did. So maybe they won't nominate his films anymore either. And you may find this hard to believe, but there is going to be a gay plot line on Glee. That's true. Apparently, Anne Hathaway is scheduled for a guest starring appearance on the show.
All right.
Ryan Murphy has confirmed that she's going to be on the show. She's going to play Kurt's long-lost aunt, his mother's sister, who is also gay, and she steps back into the family to help him deal with his sexuality. So she gets to sing and say, lesbians are good, too. So everyone goes home happy. You looking forward to the new American Idol this week?
Not even a little bit. Brand new hosts,
sadly, but brand new judges. And they've made a lot of changes, too, in terms of how the show works. Now, they have lowered the age from 16 to 15.
Oh, thank God.
So we'll finally get some 15-year-olds in American Idol.
Well, they have all the talent, Ralph.
Which is what they've been desperately needing. Their contestants, by the way, are going to pick their style and stick to it. No more theme genre nights. No more country night. No more big band night. No more BS, punk rock night. None of which they've done, but it would have been hilarious if they did any of those categories. The round of 24 is now gone. The field will be cut from 40 right to 12. So you won't have to sit through twice as many in terms of the people who are close to the prize. The top 12 will live together in a house, and they will shoot all that footage. They will also have to work on music videos as well as their live performances and work with the band and backup dancers for bigger, more produced numbers, and they will be judged on all of that behavior. So those are some of the changes.
I don't know if you know the answer to this, Ralph, or if you're going to find out the same time.
I will make it up if I don't.
Okay. The only part that Kevin cares about, and rapidly the only part that I'm beginning to care about, is the bad singers. Are they cutting that down, or are we going to have as much as that of that to look forward to as usual?
I don't think they're cutting that down. I believe that they'll have a few weeks of the stories of the people who are joining, because they are cutting down the trial in terms of 40 to 12. I mean, you won't get to see as many rounds of paring down the auditioners to the final number, so I can imagine they're not going to... The show is not going to choose to lose episodes, you know what I mean? They're not going to pull episodes and run for a shorter length, so I'm sure they will pad it with even more bad singers.
Yeah, it'll go all the way to May, right?
Yeah. As long as we have the horrible singers who go, you don't know what you're talking about. That's what I love.
Frankly, I'm looking forward to it just because I think these judges will be more interesting than the other ones were. Certainly worth more than Ellen DeGeneres in the horse face.
Yeah, I think you could be right there, but, I mean, did you see Jennifer Lopez on the Golden Globes? Did you see her acting and ad-libbing abilities?
Yes.
I mean, she was horrible, and I'm just thinking, that's what we're going to be watching for the next 5 months?
Well, she wasn't ad-libbing. That's the problem. They wrote her that horrible joke about American Idol, and I think she will be better speaking off the cuff to these people than she was on that show, for sure. And I'll tell you something. I don't know how old Jennifer Lopez is now, but she's never looked hotter than she does now. Never.
She is pretty hot.
She's ridiculous. She gets better looking the older she gets.
I also think the older she gets less and less hoochie mama.
Yeah,
you know, she gets farther away from South Bronx
now.
Jennifer Lopez, and you know, she looks good.
I'm looking forward to it.
Steven Tyler, more hoochie mama.
he is an old woman.
And more craziness, too. I think he's going to bring a lot of genuine craziness, which is... you know, Paula had chemical assistance, but I think Tyler is genuinely insane. So
allegedly.
I think it's going to help.
And he also cannot control his potty mouth, which is going to be interesting when they get into the live shows, because he just can't not swear.
I don't know if you guys caught a new TV show. It was on in some PBS stations last night. On others, it will air tonight. It's called Pioneers in Television. They're doing a series about TV genres from the 60s and 70s that sort of continue today. Cop shows, sci-fi shows, that kind of thing. And last night, in some markets, the sci-fi edition of Pioneers in Television was aired on PBS stations, and they talked to my buddy Adam West about Batman, and they talked about Star Trek and a bunch of other sort of pioneering sci-fi shows. And an interesting sidebar, because it was Martin Luther King Day, Nichelle Nichols, who played Lieutenant Uhura on the original Star Trek series, said she was planning on quitting the show after the first season, and then she met Dr. Martin Luther King at a NAACP event and told him she was leaving the show, and he said, you can't. You've got to stay on Star Trek. He said, this is the first non-stereotypical female black role I've ever seen on television. You've got a role with honor, dignity, and intelligence. You cannot abdicate. This is an important role, and this is why we're marching, because black girls will get to see a black woman with some authority on this spaceship. And it may seem like a silly sci-fi show to you, but it will make a big difference. And
who knew he was in charge of casting TV shows, too?
And so he was the one that convinced her to stay on Star Trek. So we have him to thank for Lieutenant Uhura making out with Captain Kirk.
Awesome. Yeah.
First
but aren't you guys thinking, as I am, that he was just trying to nail her?
Yes, Bean. That's what I'm thinking about Dr. Martin Luther King.
Well, he's just trying to the ladies. Come on.
That's what he was known for. That's what he was known for, sure.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? Jason Segel. Very talented and funny man.
That's right. He is, I'm a mechanic.
No, that's Jason Statham. Different guy. 31 years old today. Actor Jay Chou.
There you go!
Saw him as Kato in The Green Hornet over the weekend if you went. He's 32 years old today. Jonathan Davis of Corn celebrates his 40th birthday today. Kevin, you do a pretty good Jonathan Davis.
I don't. You got that really coming up? No, I don't have time.
Well, I think we've got plenty of time.
See?
It's like he's in the room with us.
It is dead on.
Rapper DJ Quick.
Yeah.
You know. He's 41 years old today. Comedian Dave Attell is 46. And actor, director Kevin Costner celebrates his 56th birthday today. He's got a new movie coming out, too, called Company Men. He looks older than 56 in that trailer, by the way. Mm. Looking so good.
Yeah.
What are you saying?
Yeah, it says he dances with hair loss, I think. his new Indian name. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
So, Golden Globes were Sunday night. Kevin, you actually watched this year.
Yeah. Usually Bean has that task because he sort of enjoys those award shows, although he's gotten stuck, and so, you know, now he can't get out of the bad ones.
Yep.
I have turned on him, that's for
but
sure.
But Bean was traveling, so he said, Kevin, would you mind watching? I said, sure. And I haven't watched these shows through, you know, in a long time. And it was excruciatingly long.
They're way too long. But at least the one thing you had going in, and I know, like most of us, you don't care who wins the Golden Globe.
Right. Right.
But at least you love, as do I, Ricky Gervais. So at least you had that to look forward to. For the parts where he wasn't handcuffed and blindfolded backstage in a closet when he wasn't allowed on stage. By the way, wasn't he gone for over an hour at one point in the middle of that show?
Yeah, about between 2 and 3 hours, he was completely missing.
Wasn't that weird? Didn't you get the feeling that somehow they'd gotten to him and they like took him back and beat him up or something for some of the stuff he was saying?
Here's the thing about Ricky Gervais. He's the British comedian. He created The Office in England, and everybody kind of has gotten to know him because he's doing stand-up now. But he takes shots at everybody. That's his deal. He makes fun of people.
Right.
And Sunday night, the people in the crowd did not like his jokes quite as much as he or I did. The first joke that he made, and this kind of set the tone for the night, was about Charlie Sheen.
Live from the Beverly Hilton Hotel in Los Angeles, it's going to be a night of partying and heavy drinking. Or as Charlie Sheen calls it, breakfast.
So you got that.
And then he went on to
then he went on to describe what happened with Charlie Sheen and how he took the porn star back to his hotel and she locked herself in the bathroom, and he just went on and on. I was like, all right, good. The gloves are off. Here we go. And then he started talking about bribes. Now, here's the thing about the Golden Globes. The Hollywood Foreign Press is literally 65 people, something like that, a very, very small number of people. And the rap on them has been for a long time that you can sort of buy the Golden Globe if you wine and dine them enough. That's the key, is that you have to really actively take them out, take them to dinner, take them places to, you know, shows and stuff like that. And so it's sort of bribery. So he was talking about the tourists, and he was making some very funny jokes about the tourists. And then he did a joke about how they bribed the Hollywood Foreign Press.
And I'd like to quash this ridiculous rumor going around that the only reason the tourist was nominated was so the Hollywood Foreign Press could hang out with Johnny Depp and Angelina Jolie. That is rubbish. That is not the only reason. They also accepted bribes. All that happened was some of them were taken to see Cher in concert. How the hell is that a bribe? Really? Do you want to go and see Cher? No. Why not? Because it's not 1975.
And by the way, Cher was nominated in that stupid burlesque movie. There were like 6 nominations by the Golden Globes.
I will imagine that, and it's funny because Ralph was talking about how Mr. Gervais has not been invited back to host next year. I will imagine that that's the one thing that the Hollywood Foreign Press would like to be off limits, is questioning the validity of their organization because, you know, That's their bread and butter. That's why they keep getting to put on this show and make millions of dollars from the telecast every year, is because they got this scam going.
Yeah, and I'm not positive that they were thrilled about the shot that Ricky Gervais took at the Scientologists either.
Also not nominated, I Love You, Philip Morris, Jim Carrey and Ewan McGregor, two heterosexual actors pretending to be gay. So the complete opposite of some famous Scientologists then.
And
probably. My lawyers helped me with the wording of that joke.
All right. That's where the crowd turned on him, clearly, because there's a lot of Scientologists in the room, first of all. And second of all, the ones who aren't Scientologists are worried that they're going to be taken up to a spaceship and tortured. But I will say this, and I love Ricky Gervais, too. Please don't misunderstand. A cheap shot, not particularly funny, and not original at all. That's what disappointed me about that joke, is it was too easy and too obvious for a guy as smart as Ricky Gervais.
Yeah.
It was, but people don't make it in that arena. That's the thing.
I agree.
People don't say that out loud in front of all actors.
I'm not saying there wasn't shock value to it. I'm not saying it didn't take balls to do. I'm just saying I respect him so much as a comedian. I was disappointed that it was just such an easy, cheap shot.
Yeah, I agree with you, Bean.
That was step one in not being invited back, by the way. Step two, and maybe the final nail in the coffin, and right after he said this, I said out loud to my wife, Ricky Gervais will not be back next year. This is not going to happen. He was talking about Eva Longoria, who was going to come out, and for some God knows reason, the president of the Hollywood Foreign Press has to come out on stage and give a speech, and Eva was going to introduce him, and this is Ricky's joke.
Next up, Eva Longoria has the daunting task of introducing the president of the Hollywood Foreign Press. That's nothing. I just had to help him off the toilet and pop his teeth in. It was messy. Please welcome Eva Longoria.
Yeah? He
come
said
on.
That.
You're out.
So that's goodbye. The president. That's the president of the group that's putting on the show. So
he's
then
your host.
Old man president comes out and takes a shot back at Ricky.
Thank you, Eva. And Ricky, next time you want me to help you qualify your movies, go to another guy.
Now it's getting frosty in there.
Yep.
Yes, it is.
So and shortly after that, they brought out the hook and pulled him off and tied him up backstage.
Yeah, it was noticeable. And you just go, oh, man, he just made the wrong guy mad. But I don't think he cares. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think this is the most important thing to him, so
I
who
agree.
Cares
if I
that
agree.
Happened?
You, Bean, you were talking about how some of the jokes were kind of simple and tawdry, and I agree for a guy as good as Ricky Gervais, it seemed beneath him. But I think the whole point of last night for Ricky Gervais was showing to everybody he truly does not give an F. It was one giant middle finger to the Hollywood elite.
Well, he doesn't need it. He doesn't need an event like this, I don't think. I mean, he's got a brilliant career going without it, you know? I mean, this is just gravy for him.
Right, that's true. Well, and that is how, you know, comedians make their bread and butter, is that they say the things that nobody else will.
Yeah, right.
Pop his teeth in. That was awesome. Mike, let's skip Matt Damon and Robert De Niro because it's kind of long, although Robert De Niro had maybe the line of the night as well. And Robert De Niro is taking on the Hollywood Foreign Press as well.
Big time.
You know what I think? Yeah. There are a lot of people in the entertainment industry, I think, who resent the fact that you have to wine and dine them. That there's 65 of them, they're the foreign press, and they somehow get, you know, I think people kind of resent the fact that they have to get out there and put on a little show for them so that they could get nominated. Let's go to Chris Colfer, who won for, I believe it was Best Supporting Actor in a Comedy or Musical for Glee.
And the Golden Globe goes to Chris Colfer.
Jumped up, and when he was running, you know, making his way up to the stage, the dude in the wheelchair miraculously healed, jumped out of the wheelchair and walked.
Okay, Kevin,
and I thought they're not even putting the camera on him, and that miracle just happened.
He's an actor. He can walk. He can actually walk. He plays
now,
a guy,
but he couldn't before the guy won.
No. The guy can walk. He's fine. He just plays a dude in a wheelchair on Glee.
It was an instantaneous healing. Okay, I was so excited.
He's totally. He could walk when he came in. He could walk when he left. It didn't have anything to do with the show winning awards. Sorry.
And then the best comedy or musical TV show, of course, was also Glee.
And the Golden Globe goes to Glee.
Glee!
Thank you to the Hollywood Foreign Press. A lot of people to thank.
I'd like to thank all you stupid people who like this show with music on it. And I like to shit on your heads. Oh. Thank you.
Second. That wasn't Ryan Murphy, the creator of Glee. That was Omar. Why did?
Isn't
that
a weird acceptance speech? That's bizarre.
I know Omar hates Glee. What happened there?
Here's what happened, Bean. I had to send the clips to Omar to have him put
them in. Oh, I see. And he helped you adjust them. I see.
He took a liberty, I would say. Yeah. That wasn't exactly how the speech went, but it was very close. And then as the guy who has 99% of the moments with on the Kevin and Bean show, which is basically when we destroy the language, we can't think of the word that we're trying to think of. I was very excited to hear a moment with that dude from Social Network.
And now, a moment with the dude from the Social Network.
Is a film dealing with themes as old as storytelling itself. Okay, here we go. Inspiringly written.
That was a moment with the dude from the Social Network.
That's actor Andrew Garfield, who is also the new Spider-Man, by the way. And yeah, he had trouble behind the mic. And let me ask you guys this about the Social Network. Great movie, right? We all agree.
Yes.
But how does that win major motion picture awards over Inception, which had to be one of the most difficult movies to film in history? I mean, the level of skill involved. Yeah, you've got to be skillful to make a movie about, as Aaron Sorkin said in his screenwriting award, to make a movie about people typing and people talking about typing. You have to have some skill. I'm not denying that that's not a fantastic film. But doesn't Inception just seem like it's in a whole other league in terms of movie making to that?
But I would think, you know, special effects maybe. But I think as far as packing a punch, I don't know. That's a tough question.
I mean, they're very different kinds of movies, I guess. But it just, a lot of it seems like, and I guess this is true of every award season, a lot of it just seems like the campaign and the marketing and the timing of everything. And it just seems like Inception's kind of so long ago now. And people have kind of forgotten about how great it was.
Well, Social Network won Best Screenplay, and they won Best Director, and it won Best Soundtrack. Trent Reznor in a suit. That was the weirdest thing in the world.
Yeah, no kidding.
Best Drama, of course, they won as well. I hope you enjoyed Ricky Gervais, because that was his last performance at the Golden Globes. All right, we played that one, but before that we had a new Rise Against, so we had that. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 6:24.
The band Phoenix, also System of a Down, coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Tuesday. Hey, let's talk about jobs for 1 second. Next hour, we'll tell you about Psycho Mike, who's going to be flying to New York City next week to co-host the Regis and Kelly Show with Kelly Ripa. First of all, congratulations on that, Mike.
Thank you.
And this just in, this late-breaking news just in, announced on this morning's Regis and Kelly Show at the beginning of the show, Regis is retiring.
Mike!
Oh, my gosh.
He's been doing the show for 25 years or something like that, and he has announced just now, this is brand new news, that he is going to be stepping down at the end of the summer. So what I'm saying to you, Mike, is...
Yes.
This is your shot, dude. This is your shot.
I will no longer respond to Mike. I'm now Cinnamon Regis. And,
although I would like to suggest that that is not necessarily the venue to highlight who you are.
Oh, that's for goddamn sure.
Right? I mean, if you took that gig permanently, you would have to change everything about yourself.
Yeah.
or at least work really hard at masking it for, you know, 2 hours or whatever.
Not the best fit in the world. Guy who lights farts to do a daytime talk show from New York.
Right.
So. Anyway, we'll tell you more about Mike and what is in store for him next week coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. All right, and part two, speaking of jobs, I got a very sad email from our sign-holding friend Nick. You know, we love Nick. He's been a member of the Kevin and Bean family for many, many years. He's a retarded member of the family that we make live in the basement, but he is still a member of the family. Here's the email I got from him. I got fired from sign-holding this past week. That's how my 2011 started. They said they needed to cut costs. Nick joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. I'm fine, I guess. Kind of, sort of, maybe.
How did it come down, Nick? How did they tell you that they were letting you go?
I just went in one day, not expecting anything at all. They just told me, you know, we're thinking about cutting costs. And then by the end of the day, they told me, you know, we got to let you go.
By the way, that's one of my favorite expressions in the world. We're going to let you go as if you wanted to go.
Yeah. We're going to give you your dream, and we're going to let you go and pursue all of those other dreams.
Now, has there been any kind of trouble at the... it was a cell phone store or something, right, Nick?
Yeah.
Has there been any kind of problem? Have you been getting along with everybody? Have you been mouthing off? Have you been taking a lot of time off? What's been the mood at work?
I got along with everyone. I made a lot of friends at that store. I mean, I provided a lot of service for them for over the years. They just did not have the money to pay me.
That's usually an excuse for we've been wanting to get rid of this guy for a long time because he shows up late or he doesn't get along with somebody. But we'll use the hey, we need cutbacks.
Right,
excuse.
But that's not the case this time, right, Nick?
I don't know. I mean, I just went in every day. They just dropped it on me all very suddenly, you know.
But you got along with everybody, and you didn't fight with your bosses, and you didn't show up late.
No.
Okay.
Well, actually, there was a stretch where I didn't show up for a few days, and they weren't happy about that.
A few days?
Yeah, you can't do that.
I knew there was something more to that.
I was giving you the benefit of the doubt, Nick, and Kevin was convinced that you had something to do with being fired.
Well, they didn't
fire
me on the spot over that.
I didn't show up and I didn't call and they were mad. What's up with that?
Nick, you really didn't show up to work for a few days?
I just took some time off. I just took time off.
Was it sanctioned time off? Did you go in and say, hey, I need some vacation, or did you just not show?
It was after I got my paycheck, and usually sometimes after my paycheck, I would just kind of, you know, chill out for a few days, you know?
Right.
I needed some me time.
This was a consistent occurrence?
I worked every day. Basically, my weekends were whenever I, you know, decided to take a day off, you know?
But hold on, Nick. This was understood that you get to pick whenever you want time off, or this was an occurrence where they would go, hey, where's Nick? We need somebody today. And then they'd call, and you go, I'm not coming in today.
I don't know. I didn't get fired until like a month after that. That was just like a month before.
Did you even call when you didn't
come in?
No,
of course not.
I don't have it anymore. The job is gone now. It's over.
That's yesterday's news.
That's right.
I would not show up whenever I wanted, and they fired me.
Nick, let's
move ahead. I agree with Nick, by the way. That's in the past. He's too good for them anyway. They don't need his brand of loyalty. What you've been sign holding for 8 years? That's been your job. Now I never heard much about the sign holding job. Was there much to it? Were you one of those guys who's out there like really putting on a show for traffic, like juggling the sign, or were you wearing a gorilla suit? Were you doing anything interesting, or were you literally just standing on the street corner holding the sign?
It's just I was there for so long, and it's like sometimes I'd be all into it, and other days it's like, you know, it's my job, you know, whatever. Yeah, I'll go up there and do it, you know.
Can you just set the sign against the traffic light and just go inside and get a coffee?
They said I texted too much while I was holding it.
Okay, I was about to say, I went by, when we first met Nick, and with Nick the sign holder, I drove by Nick to get some video for the station, and he was on his cell phone with the sign leaning up against a street sign. It was on the ground, and Nick was on a phone talking.
Guys, I told you this was the case.
Years afterwards after that.
He doesn't show up for work, and he texts while he's supposed to be holding the sign.
I just took a couple of most of the time
I went in, guys. What do you want? I should have to go every day. I'm Nick.
I texted. I love
you. Well, I'm the only person in history to ever take a few days off of work.
Nick, you can't take days off of work without getting them pre-approved. That's how it works.
That's
with
probably
adults.
True.
No, it's not probably true. That's the way it works.
Okay, but what do I do now then? Forget it.
Okay.
First, I've learned my lesson, and I know not to do that anymore. That's number one.
Yes, I know. What should I do now?
He's
what
annoyed.
Do I do now? That's more what I can
Why are you guys picking on me just because I'm lazy?
I don't think you're picking on me. I need good advice.
As I said when I brought you on, you're retarded, but you are a member of the Kevin and Bean family, and we'd like to help you out. However, people, potential employers listening to this interview are not jumping up and down to get to the phone to call in to offer you work.
That was our plan. We were hoping that somebody would hear your story and call and go, hey, I happen to need somebody who shows up only when he wants and texts a lot.
I will show up whenever I need a job. I don't care. I'm not up for, like, I'm not going to, like, take time off now. I need a job. I need a job now.
Okay.
Okay, I will be committed.
besides sign holding, sort of, do you have any other skills? Is there anything else you can do, Nick, if we want to throw you out there? Because let's face it, tough economy right
now. I can write.
A lot of people looking for work, though. You got to understand, you are in competition now with millions of other people who are also out of work and who are also looking for jobs.
I can text.
So you got to bring something really special to get a job these days, Nick. You know that, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, this is the worst time in years to be unemployed. I'm just warning you right now that it may be tough sledding for a while for you.
I know.
I have to sled.
Make the minimum payments.
Okay. All right, Kevin, what do you think? Should we invite the listeners to call in who might have work for Nick, or do you think that's a lost cause?
Well, I think it may be a lost cause, but maybe we could have people who've been in a similar situation where you kind of screwed up and you weren't paying attention. You got fired.
Look, I didn't screw up, okay?
Yes, you did.
You didn't go in.
I'm not learning anything from this valuable conversation.
All right, we need people to help us talk to Nick. That's what we need. We need maybe employers to go, hey, Nick, how about don't text while you're supposed to be holding a sign? Tips on how to find a new job, perhaps, from people who hire.
Yeah, you see what we've got to work with. I don't know that we can help Nick, but maybe you can. So if you've got advice for him or if you've got an idea of a way for him to make money, you know, there are some people who are saying, you know, I'm not going to go out and have somebody else hire me. I've got a business that I can run from my house that I can do on my own. There are people who have figured out a way to make money like that. So if you've got any tips on how Nick can make money or any tips on how Nick can now go out and look for a job based on what you know about him, we want to hear from you. 1-800-520-1067. That's our toll-free number. Let me give it to you again. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Some days I was just too tired to go in. I had other things to do.
Talking to Kevin and Bean listener Nick, one of our favorites for many, many years. He's on the phone with us now. He recently has lost a sign-holding job, which is how we met and fell in love with Nick all those years ago. How long were you at that job, Nick?
8 years.
8 years.
Yeah, wow. 8 years.
Are you sad now that that's not going to be your career? You're going to have to now go out and do something else?
I am happy that I'm not doing it, but I don't like not having an income, you know?
Sure,
certainly. Yeah, of course. All right, well, we asked for the Kevin and Bean listeners if they had some advice for you on either how to get a job, how to make some money, or maybe some things that you should do better next time around. And we actually have someone in HR. Paula is an HR manager. She is on line 7. So I think she's got some great advice for somebody like you who's getting back into the workforce after a long time. Hey, Paula, thanks for calling. How are you?
I'm great. Hey, Nick. While you're interviewing, you know, that 8 years is longevity. That looks like you are really a dedicated employee. So instead of saying, I wasn't there and I went in when I wanted to go in, say, you know, those 8 years offered me a lot of growth and the opportunity, and now I'm ready to move on and to see what else I can do at the next level. Don't mention that didn't go in a lot.
Sounds
really good. It sounds like really solid advice.
Right. Should he mention that they were upset that he texted too much? Is that something he should bring up?
No, actually, he shouldn't do that.
Don't
bring that up. Those are going to be red flags for an interview. I've interviewed hundreds of people. If somebody would tell me that, I'd be like, oh, wow, that's a red flag. Sorry.
Okay, Paula, I'm so glad you called, but let me ask you one more question. Isn't it way harder to get a job when you are unemployed versus interviewing for jobs when you are currently employed? Is that going to be something that Nick's going to have to overcome also?
This is true. You're exactly right with that. But what will happen is the longer the span, the harder it is to get a job. So if he finds something, and it may just be intermittent, if he can get something maybe not as glamorous as sign turning, but somewhere in that he can go out and interview for other things that he may be enjoying a little bit more in the long term.
Okay, now, Paula, so he should take anything right now, then, is what you're saying.
Yes. Paula, you are not too good to do anything, my son.
Is your day booked?
Right now.
Is your day booked, Paula, or do you have time to fit in an interview with Nick? Because he'd like to do whatever it is you hire for.
I actually, you know what? I hire for a real specific positions. Now, I used to work with a Fortune 500 company where we would do from cart pushers to store managers.
Right.
But
I'm saying, do you have time to? Do you have time to interview Nick today for a job? Because he needs one.
Absolutely.
Oh,
how about great. That? Okay. All right, Paula, we're going to let you look good by saying that, but we're also going to let you hang up so you don't have to do it. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate that. Let's try Jacob. He's on line one. He has a similar tale of woe, and I don't know if there's going to be a lesson to be learned here, but let's see what he's got. Hi, Jacob. You're on with Kevin and Bean and the gang and Nick, our sign holder friend. What's up?
Hey, guys. Lisa May. Uh-huh. Anyways, what I have to say is my father actually passed away, so I took some time off of work. I was the manager for a very big Hollywood nightclub, and I took some time off. I got really stoned because I was sad, and I wrote a huge FU letter to my general manager and to the vice president of operations.
Good.
And so, you know, when I was supposed to come back, I was like, hey, guys, I'm ready to come back. And I didn't get a response back for 2 weeks. I then had the owner of the company come, like, to the restaurant and sit down and explain to me not only why it was inappropriate to write an FU letter, but that I'm no longer needed in their services.
So Wait a minute. Let me just cut in here. So you wrote them an FU letter and then fully expected that you would go back to work and everything would be fine?
It was the truth.
It doesn't matter.
I love that.
You and Nick should start a business. So how long were you out of work before you were able to find something else, Jacob?
You know what, man? I got out of the restaurant industry. I've been out of work now for probably about 2 years, and I actually am in law school.
Wow. How can you afford to go to law school without a job, without having any money coming in?
It's called some of the skills I learned in the restaurant industry, I'm very good at manipulating people into paying for my school and the government and all that fun stuff.
There's some crime going on here.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Jacob, thank you very much for the call. All right, Mike, let's end with which one you want to end with here. I can't tell who's got the best advice for Nick. We only have time for one more. What do you think?
I think to apologize and ask for his job back, that's a lost cause. So why not talk to Cooper about maybe having Nick change his frame of mind?
Okay. Hey, Cooper, thanks for calling. Welcome to Kevin Bean Show. You're the final word on this. What kind of advice do you have for Nick?
What's up, Lisa?
Hey.
Nick, are you white, dude?
I am, yes.
All right, you got to get into construction and it will... you have to survive, or do you live with your parents?
Okay. Parents.
Yeah.
He's got... Yeah, parents.
Yeah, I have my parents.
Oh, so you don't really have to survive, but if you did and you got into construction, you call every number in the phone book, right? And as soon as you get your foot in the door as a laborer, you leave your phone in the car and you keep your head down and you bust your ass, and it'll work out for you as long as you show up every day.
Okay, yeah.
But wait a minute.
I've been employed by like 30 different companies in L.A. over the past 5 years, fired for puffing and fucking and doing all kinds of stuff.
Whoa with the F word. You've been fired from this phone call too, Cooper. All right, so the advice then is to just put your head down, plan on working really hard, calling every number in the phone book, showing up every day that they want you to, not just when you want to, and at least then you are working and it makes it easier to look for another job from that point on. What do you think, Nick?
Sounds great.
At least he's not going to be effing. He's got that going on.
No,
effing.
No.
All right.
Thanks for the call, Nick. Hey, good luck. Keep us posted. All right, dude?
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for tuning into the Kevin and Bean Show. No Coachella details yet. Keep listening. We'll have them for you soon, we are told, and we will certainly pass them along the minute we get them. Hey, Ralph Garman, how was your weekend, man?
Oh, it's magical. Spectacular. Splendiferous.
How was the thing Saturday night? You and your buddy Kevin Smith.
It was best Hollywood Babylon ever.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, we crushed it. It was sold out, thanks to everybody who came out to the show. So much so that we are moving the Hollywood Babylon show that I do with Kevin Smith. We're going to move it to Saturday nights at 10 p.m. on a permanent basis.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
wow.
Because it seems like it's easier for people to... get to a theater and make plans and go out at night on a Saturday than it was on a Friday where we were previously doing it. But the reaction was so strong, we had such a great turnout that we were going to do it on Saturday nights from now on. So we're skipping this weekend because Smith's going to be in Sundance where we're premiering Red State, his new film that I do a little appearance in. And then we'll start the 29th, I guess that is, the next Saturday after that. So come on out and join us.
I got to give you guys credit for moving it around enough that people have a hard time finding it.
Well, it's like an exclusive nightclub with a velvet rope around it. You know, right. If anyone can go to it, then it kind of loses its specialness. But if you make it a little bit of a challenge, that really heightens people's attention.
You're like the A-team.
Yeah, so you've changed the venue.
Yeah, we're like the A-Team, only you can find us exactly where we say we're going to be every week. Other than that, we're exactly like the A-Team.
You have changed the venue, and then you change the day, and you change the time.
Yeah, and the people keep coming.
You're turning into Friday Night Lights. That's all I'm saying.
Lick it.
Hey, Ralph, real quick, you mentioned Red State. I saw that your female co-star in that movie, she won herself a Golden Globe.
I did want to say congratulations to my buddy Melissa Leo, who plays my wife in Red State. She won a Golden Globe for Best Supporting Actress for her work in The Fighter, which was great. We were great. It was very happy to see that. And
Absolutely.
We think she may be nominated for this film as well. She gives a great performance in Red State. So.
Wow, fantastic.
It was very cool, and she's a very nice lady, so I was glad to see her win over the weekend with the Golden Globes.
Ralph is here at this time every hour on the Kevin and Bean Show to fill us in on what's going on with Hollywood. What do you got?
Congratulations to Mike Catherwood, who is taking over as the host of Live. Apparently, Live with Mike and Kelly will start airing at the end of the year. So congratulations, Mike Catherwood.
I think that's just one day.
Yeah, it was one day until Regis announced he's leaving the show today. He's leaving Live with Regis and Kelly.
That's a bombshell.
This will be my last year on the show.
He said,
it's been a long time. It's been 28 years since I've been here. It was the biggest thrill of my life. Gelman.
So he is leaving the show at the end of the year. Philbin said his exit would occur at the end of the summer, actually, or in the fall. So before the end of the year, he will be gone, and that's when Mike will take over. So congratulations.
What if it's Bobby Bones?
What if it's Bobby Bones? Or what if it's Fitz, more importantly? That's your big competition, yeah. Fitz. He's the man, Fitz.
I know Fitz.
Oh, I know Fitz. I spent time with him at his. I've lunched at his home.
We will discuss Mike and his competition on the Regis and Kelly show coming up right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And we'll play the audio for you from when we all found out that he was named.
Green Hornet star Seth Rogen was talking to Ellen DeGeneres this past week. He's got, of course, that big movie in theaters everywhere. And he said the oddest celebrity run-in he ever had, I know you guys are going to talk about that in the next hour, was when he was meeting with Steven Spielberg over a film project. And George Lucas stopped by, popped his head in.
Wow.
Seth, being a true fanboy, was taken aback, like we'd all be if Lucas just sat down and started talking for 25 minutes.
Sure.
But it was the subject matter that was even more disturbing, Seth says. George Lucas apparently really thinks the world is going to end in 2012.
He really does.
He really believes it.
Love it.
Seth said, I thought he was joking. Then I realized he was totally serious. Started talking about tectonic plates. And all the time, Spielberg is rolling his eyes like, my nerdy friend won't shut up. I'm sorry. And then he said, if you're George Lucas and you actually think the world's going to end in a year, there's no way you haven't built a spaceship for yourself. So I asked him, can I have a seat on it? He said he didn't have a spaceship, but there's no doubt in Seth's mind there's a Millennium Falcon in his garage somewhere with a pilot just waiting to go. He said, I think it's going to be him and Steven Spielberg, and I'll be blown up like the rest of us here on this planet. So, sad news.
Hey, did you make it to Green Hornet this weekend? I did. Looking forward to it.
How is it? I did. The Black Keys are also in the news.
Oh, really?
Black Keys have canceled all of their dates for the rest of their tour because they're exhausted. Oh, we're rock stars. We're so tired. F you, Black Keys. They've canceled gigs in Australia, New Zealand, and Europe. All of those dates have been canceled. That includes the massive Big Day Out Festival Down Under, which is now down underwater. So, they will not be attending. Black Keys like to apologize to all their fans and thank them for their support. Well, I'm sure all your fans thank you too, Black Keys, for being exhausted and being unable to play music on a stage.
Man, I got the new Black Kids.
F that.
Keys, Rodney, Keys.
Today's celebrity birthday is Kevin Costner's 56 years old today. Comedian Dave Attell turns 46. Rapper DJ Quick turns 41. Jonathan Davis of Korn fame is 40 years old today. Jonathan. Hasn't lost a step, man. Even with age, he's still got it. He is quite the talent. Speaking of Green Hornet, Jay Chou. Kato from that film is 32 years old today, and actor Jason Segel celebrates his 31st birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Tuesday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks a lot for tuning in. It's Psycho Mike's final week on the program. He's had a good run, though. He's been with us for a number of years. We've enjoyed hanging out with you, Michael.
Sure.
You're
going to have a good time living in New York.
I don't know if it's necessarily my last week. It's just going to be a nice little escape to go and do the Regis and Kelly show.
I don't know that we're going to miss him either, by the way.
By the way, I saw a commercial last night for Psycho Mike's appearance next week along with Dr. Drew on The Bachelor, too.
Yeah.
Psycho Mike and Dr. Drew on The Bachelor. What's going on in the world today?
Prime time.
I know. So that's your Psycho Mike prime time. And then your Psycho Mike daytime, as we found out yesterday on the Regis and Kelly show, he's going to be filling in for Regis. And I think we have the audio of the actual announcement of their Men in Radio Week.
Top five men of radio who will co-host with me next week. Bobby Bones.
Eric Ferguson.
Vince.
Jeff Mahler.
And finally, Mike Catherwood, a.k.a. Psycho Mike.
I don't know. A guy named Bones.
Bones and Psycho Mike.
Psycho Mike. What's the other guy?
I may not show up next week.
Oh, you better, uh-oh. Kelly Ripa. You better, Kelly Ripa.
By the way, first of all, Kelly Ripa, good call. First of all.
Yeah.
Sure.
Second of all, what are you going to do, Mike? How's that going to go?
I don't know. I mean, I gotta obviously get there and kind of figure out how the system of the show works. You know, I can't just go in there right before the show starts like Kevin does on this show.
How dare you?
I'll try to figure out what I can and can't get away with. And obviously, the entire time, I'm going to be self-censoring. Because it's Regis and Kelly.
No, that's the point, Mike. Is that, let's not waste this as an opportunity.
Okay, yeah. you're saying this is my Ricky Gervais moment.
Yes.
Okay,
I'm saying, like, for example, you know, if you walk out onto the stage or whatever, I don't know how the show starts because I don't watch it. But if you walk out onto the stage and she introduces you, you know, and you go and give her like the Hollywood hug, just hold on way too long.
Grab her ass.
You know what I mean? Just things like that. Like, kiss her, but just keep kissing.
Yeah.
Make her as uncomfortable as possible because you want it to be the worst hour of her life? Is that
what
you're
suggesting? That's what I'm
saying. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's what that's what Kevin personally wants.
Hey, listen, how funny would it be?
Oh, it would be amazing.
Mike, seriously. I mean, let's be honest. You're not. Let's play the next clip, and then we'll talk about the opportunity. Let's play the clip of Regis.
But this will be my last year on this show. No, I know. It's been a long time. It's been 28 years since I've been here. And it was the biggest thrill of my life to come back to New York, where I grew up as a kid watching TV in the early days. And, you know, and never even dreaming that I will one day have whatever the ability or whatever it takes to get in front of a camera and talk to it.
Okay, so he's stepping down. So clearly they're going to be looking for a replacement.
Yeah.
That replacement, I think we can all agree, being Lisa, everybody, I think we can all agree is not going to be you, Mike.
Well, yeah.
Unless Mike learns to completely contain himself.
Which he couldn't do in a million years.
I don't think he'd be happy doing it.
So my point is, you're not going to get the gig anyway. You might as well Ricky Gervais it. Like we were saying, you gotta really like come out singing like Rain in Blood by Slayer. Something you gotta really
that's not a bad idea.
I mean we'll pay you, we'll put up a bounty for certain things, you know. We can put up a bounty. Here's what I want you to do.
Okay.
This is the main thing, because we were talking last week about what could Psycho Mike do. Oh, he's gonna light a fart on fire, that'd be so funny. No way you're gonna do that. No
right.
way.
Okay.
Right? Because you don't have time. You know, you got the lighter, they're gonna cut away.
Right.
But yeah, plus they'll be in a suit. It'd be pretty tough to get to my bung, you know? Like
sure. But here's what I'd like you to do, because this is very doable. And I would pay you, I think Bean would toss in $500. And
I think
you would toss in $500, as I would, to make it a total of $1,000 if you fart loud enough to be heard.
Oh.
Hold on, and then blame it on Kelly.
Come on, Mike. That's pretty solid.
That you could do. You could look at her like, what are you doing?
By the way, you could just put a whoopee cushion in your pocket and make that happen.
That's
too.
Pretty solid, though.
Come on now. That would Bean, you'd pay $500 for that, wouldn't you?
Well, no, Kevin, and the reason Bean brings up a good point. The reason that I might want to carry a whoopee cushion just in case is because what if I can't muster up a fart during the filming? I
mean,
that whole bit would be lost.
Right.
You're a professional.
Yeah, all of a sudden you're going to get stadium fart?
Well,
what's going on here?
There's nerves going. I mean, it's live television. There's nerves there. I mean, who knows if I don't
Mike,
have one in the chamber.
You're never not comfortable enough to bring one. Come on.
That's good.
Seriously. Look, whoopee cushion is fine as long as it sounds like a fart and you blame it on Kelly.
Yeah.
You get the money. I'm in for $500. Bean, yes or no?
I'm not a fan of the fart. I'm not a fan of the fart comedy, as you know. That is not my milieu. You guys know that,
right?
It is pretty funny.
Right, Kelly,
this is the inappropriateness of it, though.
Let me give you like a dress rehearsal. Ready? All right.
Yeah.
And coming up next segment, we got Danny DeVito talking. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Ripa.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Ripa.
I thought you were professional.
I didn't know that.
professional.
That's why they call, and then you could say, I didn't know that's why they called you Ripper.
Holy mackerel. I mean, this is your gig. You're a professional. I can't believe you just did that.
I'm in. Come on, that would be awesome.
That's pretty solid.
Now, have you had any kind of a powwow with the producers where, for instance, do you know who your guests are going to be on the day you're on? Do you even know what day you're on?
No, I don't. It's going to be sometime next week. That's all I know. They called me yesterday after the announcement, and they asked for, like, Social Security, date of birth, all that kind of stuff for flight arrangements and hotel, but they're going to get in touch with me later today to nail out like other details.
Mike, I would also like you to announce that every person in the audience just won a trip to Australia.
It's another good call. Awesome. Kevin, you got some good ideas there, Kevin.
You have to shout it like that, though. Australia! Yeah,
that's pretty solid.
I'd like you to refer to her as the white Oprah.
Yeah, okay.
Do you have is this an a la carte menu of things that Mike can choose from, and he makes a certain amount of money for each one that he does?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good. I think the top one is the fart and blaming it on Kelly. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty good. And, Mike, you love the ripping and the tearing guy, right? Play that clip.
Keto Rick.
The wild women, the ripping and the tearing, the ripping and the tearing.
So you can refer to her as Kelly ripping and the tearing.
Yeah, if I could work in, like, the idea of me being Taryn, so it could be the Rippa and the Taryn. It'd be
well.
Yes.
Let me ask you this: Look, Kevin is having a laugh and all that. But what is your goal, Mike? You want to do it because you're an up and comer in Hollywood. You're trying to raise your profile. I imagine you enjoy a challenge. I think that's where I think I'm speaking accurately on.
Sure.
There.
Yeah.
But what else do you hope to get out of this? I mean, are you looking at this as an audition for other jobs? Because remember, you got the Daily 10 show on E! Canceled when you filled in on that show.
Yeah, that's true. I don't think I have the power to cancel. Well, I mean,
already people are nervous about hiring Psycho Mike. But what do you hope to get out of this?
You know, I don't know because this happened so unexpectedly. I mean, I never really anticipated getting to this point. But like you said, I mean, I think it's a great opportunity as someone who aspires to be to make his career in broadcasting, to be that to get that level of exposure is going to be awesome. But outside of that, I just think I'm going to soak it in for being an amazing experience. And if nothing comes of it, oh well, I still get to fly to New York and check out one of the most well-known daytime shows.
I'm trying here to get you to make something happen, man. Like when it comes back from a commercial break, start talking, but don't have any sound come out so that they think your microphone's broken.
Oh, that's a good call.
Like move your lips, but don't say anything, and they'll all freak out. They go, "Oh no, the mic's not on."
Yeah, I'm overwhelmed with how many good ideas you have, Kevin. Like you really put a lot of thought into this.
I just keep thinking what would be funny.
Kevin's mind works: is how do you repay an outstanding opportunity? How do you pay those nice people back? It's by screwing with them and making it the worst hour of their year. That's what you wanted to do.
Isn't that Mike's specialty?
Well, he certainly makes us miserable every morning, so why not?
I do it so.
All right, I'm just saying, there's a bounty and there's a payday for you, and if you got some balls.
Well, look, when I went into this break to talk about the show and the upcoming prospect of it, I wasn't really taking you seriously, Kevin, but now that I know you have so many good ideas, I'm really putting some thought into it.
All right, that's what I'm talking about. They sort of just lose interest, don't they, in that song?
Yeah, they do. They do.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 7:26.
The pitbull of comedy, Bobby Slayton, joining us later on the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow on the program, by the way, our friend Adam Carolla will be here. Also, Steve-O joins us, too. All right. Let's face it. Many people listening, particularly if you're on with us in Los Angeles or San Francisco, have had the opportunity to rub elbows with celebrities. It's not uncommon. I mean, almost everybody has a celebrity encounter story, I think, where, you know, maybe it's fleeting. Maybe it's you just met a guy. Maybe you just saw a guy. Maybe you got a chance to do more with a guy or a gal. But sometimes you find yourself in a situation where it's a head-scratching moment where you just can't believe. Like, Kevin, like when you and I were on a roller coaster with Weird Al. I mean, that's just not the type of thing you ever expect is going to happen in your life, right?
Yeah, that was one of those moments where we look at it and go, I'm on a roller coaster, first of all, and that's Weird Al. It's one of those things that it really does take you like 5 minutes just to get your head around what's happening.
And, you know, lots of other things happen in your life that are memorable, but on your deathbed, you're going to be thinking, really? Weird Al and me on a roller coaster? How did that ever happen? So those are the kinds of encounters that we're going to be looking for, where you actually did something, spent some measurable time with a celebrity that you still can't believe happened at 1-800-520-1067. And the reason we started talking about this is because two things came up last week. Psycho Mike, I'll let you tell your story first, because I don't believe I'd ever heard this one before, and it was fascinating to me.
The entire show here at the Kevin and Bean Show was out in Las Vegas. nominees for an MTV Movie Awards, I'm going to say about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Maxim threw an insane party to honor the award show. So we go to this party, and I'm at the bar with Josh Homme and Mastodon, and Dave Grohl's there. I'm like, this is the best party ever. And of course, it's a Maxim party, so there's all these girls, you know, dressed in nothing, carrying drinks. It's just really an amazing party. So executive producer Alex and I decide to walk up on like a giant balcony to look down on the rest of the party. And we're the only ones up there. We're just chit-chatting. And all of a sudden, no exaggeration, 20 Las Vegas policemen walk up on top of this.
Oh, my gosh.
And it struck us as odd because they were real cops. They weren't security. And I asked one of the policemen. I was like, wow, what's going on? Why so many cops? And he just kind of gestures and he points over to my left. And I turn around and Michael Jackson is... Ooh. 4 feet away from both Alex and I. So then we just hang out in silence, essentially shoulder to shoulder with Michael Jackson and watch, you know, the goings-ons down below.
That's amazing.
Were you thinking the whole time, like, should I say something? What would I ever say to Michael Jackson? Or should I engage him in some kind of conversation? Yeah. I mean, you had to be thinking about what to say or what to do.
Dude, he's one of those guys that, you know, whether or not you're a fan or not, it's just so overwhelming when you're in his presence.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Because he's so reclusive. And I'm like, wait, this is Las Vegas. How do I know this isn't an impersonator? And then I looked around. I'm like, wait, these are real cops, real guns, yeah. Real badges. It's Michael Jackson. And we were inches away, both Alex and I, and we were both kind of like silently daring each other to say something. And it was just odd. But we hung out with like Michael Jackson, like 20 minutes, just hanging out, just watching concerts and people hanging out, partying below.
Oh, my God.
So did you never say anything to him?
No. No.
What would you say? I don't know what you would say to him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, and I...
Hey, I could moonwalk, too.
I was thinking of something funny to say so that I could bring it back on the air, but then I was failing at that. And then I was like, it's probably... He just wants to be left alone. So the, hey, dude, what's up? Where does that go?
Right.
Because he's Michael Jackson. He's not going to answer me. I don't know. It was weird, but
say
a word.
You would get a baton to the dome from one of those cops if you tried to speak with him, probably.
Right, right.
I'll tell you what you should have done is, Michael, come on! You did! 1-800-520-1067. That's our toll-free number. We're looking for celebrity encounters that go beyond just a meet and greet. Go beyond just, hey, I'm a big fan, give me an autograph. You actually ended up hanging out with for some length of time or doing something. The other story that came up off the air last week that I guess I'd never told you guys before is my darling bride Donna was traveling somewhere. I think she was at SFO, actually. I think she's at the San Francisco airport, and she's there, already gone through security, getting ready to head to her gate to get on a plane. And she sees the unmistakable Dalai Lama sitting on a bench in the airport. Now, the Dalai Lama, he's the monk dude. So he's wearing the monk clothes, and he's got the bald head, and he's just sitting there. And he's got one guy who's not sitting down next to him, but is standing next to him. And it's just he's just there hanging out, not doing anything, not talking to anybody. And she thinks, hey, this is a good opportunity to go up and hang out with the Dalai Lama, because how often do you get a chance to do that, right?
Yeah.
I could answer that question. Never. Ever. By the way, there's never an opportunity.
What do you suppose she said to him when she stepped up to in front of him?
Hello, Dolly.
Yeah, well, you got to say that. So, no, she didn't really, but I chastised her directly for that. So she sits down next to the Dalai Lama, and she looks over at him, and he looks at her, and he's a very sweet man, very nice, very welcoming, very open. And she says, Twizzler?
What? Twizzler? She was eating...
Oh. Yes, she had Twizzlers with her. And he says, I've never had a Twizzler before. I'd love to try one. So she gives him a Twizzler, and they sit there, and she ends up spending about 10 minutes sitting on the bench with the Dalai Lama. He's having Twizzlers, and they're just chatting, just shooting.
Did he say, I've got a Twizzler for you?
No, he didn't say that.
You're a hot little Hispanic chick. How about this?
He did say, I've never had a Twizzler. I'd like to try one. And apparently that was...
Yeah. I honestly don't think I would have ever thought, hey, I should offer the Dalai Lama a Twizzler.
Right. It's really
now it just sounds like we're playing Mad Libs.
I mean, I'm
like, this can't be a real sentence.
It never would have occurred to me.
So that was just one of those like bizarre celebrity encounters that, you know, she'll have other times where she meets famous people in her life, but that's going to be the one that she's always going to think about, that she's always going to scratch her head and go, I was sitting on a bench having Twizzlers with the Dalai Lama. What up?
It'll be on her tombstone.
Maybe so.
Offered the Dalai Lama Twizzlers.
Right, exactly. All right, so now you know what we're looking for. A quick break, then we come back with your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067 is our toll-free number. We'll talk to you next on The Kevin and Bean Show. One of the biggest bands in the world, Muse, coming up next here on The Kevin and Bean Show with Supermassive Black Hole. Hey, how you doing, Lisa? All right. That would work better if he had his mic on there, Mike.
That would help. Sure.
1-800-520-1067 is the number. Kevin, explain what kind of celebrity encounters we're looking for. We're not just talking about, hey, I sat at a restaurant table next to Ben Affleck, right?
Right, because that's a regular celebrity sighting. You know, it's hard to find these, but the weirder the thing you're doing... Like when Bean's wife Donna met the Dalai Lama, she offered him a Twizzler, and he said he's never had it, and he tried it. Like, that's such a weird circumstance. That's kind of a weird thing anyway. But if you add the celebrity sighting with the weird, that's what we're looking for the most. Yeah,
exactly. Look, everyone wants to see Megan Fox, but if you went skydiving with Megan Fox, now you got yourself a story, right? So that's what we're talking about. So why don't we start with our man, Rick. He is on line 3, and he joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Rick. Weird celebrity encounters. What are you still thinking about that you did with a famous person? Tell us.
Well, I was out surfing Malibu a couple of years ago and just having a good old time, and I'm paddling out. And I start paddling out, you know, paddling out with another guy, kind of a dorky-looking dude, New Jersey-ish looking. And we start talking. He's telling me how he's learning how to surf, and he's not doing very good. I start giving him some pointers. And I look at the guy, and I go, you know, you kind of look familiar. Mm-hmm. Would I have seen you somewhere before? And then the old light bulb went off. And I look and I go, dude, is your name Adam? And he goes, yeah. And I go, Adam Sandler? Oh. And he goes, yeah.
Awesome.
And I ended up surfing with him for a while. Okay. And what a nice guy.
Yeah, he's a super, super cool dude. But, Rick, I'm concerned about you. Have you had a lot of head injuries surfing? Because how do you not recognize Adam Sandler?
You know, let me tell you, I've surfed an awful long time.
Yeah.
And you see people out in the water in either trunks or wetsuit, wet hair, sticking up all over the place. And then you see them somewhere else, and it's like, hey, you know, hey, dude, I met you at Malibu. And you look at them and go, you did? Oh, you don't look the same with your clothes on.
It's just you see someone completely out of context. You're just not putting two and two together. I got you. All right, man. Thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067. Let's try Kim. He is on line 4 and joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Kim. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Good. Thanks.
All right. So a few years back, we're over at the Las Vegas airport. We're waiting for my friend who's celebrating a birthday to arrive. So I had to go do my business. I walk over to the bathroom, do my business. In comes some other guy, nice shoes, I can tell, sitting there for a while. I'm wrapping up, and I hear a knock. And I'm like, what? You know, you're in a bathroom, you don't expect a knock. Well, the knock was from the stall next door, and the guy was asking for paper.
What?
Toilet paper.
He was out of toilet paper?
So he asked politely, and I said, okay.
No.
So I rolled some down, and I passed it underneath and, you know, finished my thing, went out, washed my hands, looked at the guy coming out, Martin Sheen.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
You helped the president of the United States wipe his ass.
Exactly. So obviously all my friends are out there waiting for my friend to arrive in the terminal. I go out. I tell him what's up. Martin comes out. They can't believe it. We all take a picture, and we just have the goofiest looks on our faces.
Oh, my God.
If somebody starts talking to me from the next stall, I either think it's the good congressman from Idaho. I think that might be, you know, this may be a pickup. Yeah. Or it's Kevin with a tape recorder asking, what are you doing? That's what I think.
I check the walls, make sure there weren't any holes.
Sure.
Oh, wow. Thank you very much for the call. All right. Let's try Asia. Asia is, by the way, obviously hot. There's no question about that. And secondly, she's on line 8 and joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Asia. What's your story?
Hey, well, I was, back when I went to school in Santa Barbara, I was taking a pottery class, and Jeff Bridges uses our studio. So I was in there, and I had worked on a piece, and I was really unhappy with my glaze, and I was super bummed out, and he was there, and he was like, hey, it's all
right.
Did
he say, the dude has some glaze for you?
He was, like, super chill, and he's like, don't worry about it, and he was just giving me suggestions as to how to fix it, and he was just the coolest dude ever.
Sitting in
his little poncho, working on like, his little figurines.
Really? Your day was doing pottery with the dude.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's very funny. Thank you for the call. All right, let's do one more. How about Billy? Billy, line 2 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Billy, weird celebrity encounters. What'd you do and with whom?
Snag. How you doing, guys? I was a limo driver and went to a heliport and picked up some people out of a helicopter to take them to the Def Leppard concert out in San Bernardino about 6-7 years
what?
Ago. Yes, the Def Leppard concert, exactly. And got the people in the car and everything, didn't notice who they were right away, but it was David Spade and John Farley.
John what? Farley? Is that Chris Farley's brother?
You mean Chris
yes,
Farley?
Chris Farley's brother. No, John Farley.
Chris oh, it was
brother.
John Farley. Oh, wow.
Okay.
And just started rapping with him and everything. They had two super hot chicks with him. And so we're driving down the road, and they're just like, hey, Billy, we need you to judge something. And I said, what's that? And they said, we're having a farting contest. You need to tell us who has the best smelling fart. Oh.
Okay. Now, before you go on, this is what turns it from just a regular, hey, I met a celebrity, into a celebrity encounter you'll never forget. So now, you're judging a farting contest.
Right, but let me just qualify. Best smelling?
Yeah, or best smelling. That, yeah, exactly.
Or does that mean strongest or worst?
That I don't know. I never got that far because the girls were yelling and screaming at them that they were being disgusting.
No, don't do that!
Exactly.
So, who won, Billy?
I would have to say it was David Spade because he was the most loud, obnoxious one with his farts.
Sure.
Yeah, there you go. See, we all learned a little valuable something today. Thank you for the call. Ralph Scott, right. Showbiz Beat, coming up next here on the Kevin and Bean.
106.7 K-Rock. 106.7
Vagabond.
K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It is 5 minutes till 8.
Last night was a special, wow, we're so lucky, 2 Jersey Shore episodes in 1 week.
Woo-hoo!
And LaQuisha reviews that for us coming up after the top of the hour like she do. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday. Kevin and me show, what's happening, Ralph?
Well, I've got tickets to give away to a very special advanced screening of a movie called The Mechanic. Jason Statham stars in this. He's a mechanic. He'll change your spark plugs, and then overcharge you for it.
It's very scary. It's a very scary film. You go in there, and you got a knock in your engine. Next thing you know, it's like $2,000.
Wow.
Yeah. Your oil pans dropped out.
I'm not sure that's what this film's about, Ralph. I don't know 100%. But
well, it's clearly science fiction because it's a white mechanic.
How dare you, sir?
Mechanic is actually street speak for a guy who does wet work, you know.
What?
He's an assassin to take you out. And he's training Ben Foster in this film. Donald Sutherland also stars. It's in theaters everywhere on Friday, January the 28th. But if you're, let's give away two pair right now. To callers number 5 and 6 at 1-800-520-1067. If you're a lucky caller, you get to see it on the 27th at the very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of The Mechanic. All right, showbiz news. Believe it or not, Matt LeBlanc is still talking about Joey. His failed spinoff, Joey. He's got a new series coming on, but they're still asking questions about Friends and about the spinoff. And he said the show was great. The audience would beg to differ. He said
why they cancel shows is because they're great.
They had a good cast, he said, and making the show was a lot of fun. But they forgot one key ingredient: Joey's passion for life.
What? He didn't say
he
that.
Said
yes,
that?
Yes, he did.
He said
they forgot that Joey's was a positive, glass half full kind of guy, and it was that lack of energy that cost the show its fan base. It's true. We all have very strong feelings about Joey, and we were all very disappointed when it was on. Oh, no, wait a minute. It was just not funny.
I'm no Matt LeBlanc apologist, but he obviously was very good at playing that character on Friends, so it sounds to me like there was some problem with the writing on the spinoff. No, sounds to me like they did get something wrong.
No, the problem was that character was a punchline in a cast of 6 different, more interesting characters.
Yeah,
and
true.
When you try to give that guy his own show with nothing else surrounding it, it falls on its face. It was ill-conceived to begin with.
His new show is Episodes, and it started last week, and they do it the right way, which is that he's a small part of it, with a really good cast, it sounds like.
There you go.
I mean, I watched the first one. It looked pretty good.
There you go. Hayden Panettiere and her boyfriend, heavyweight champ Vladimir Klitschko, are still together. You don't see a lot of that out in public, but they were spotted together at the InStyle Warner Brothers party after the Golden Globes on Sunday night. For the record, he's 34, she's 21. And all of those by knockout, by the way.
The photo that I saw of them at that party, it looked like a guy was out with his daughter. It was, I mean, not that he's that much older than she is, but he's just so big and she's so tiny. It was just weird. Mike.
Really?
A full-time hate on for Hayden Panettiere.
Yeah, an inexplicable hatred of Hayden Panettiere.
Yeah, that's weird.
We were talking about the Jersey Shore, the fact that LaQuisha is going to talk about that show coming up next. Well, don't worry, folks. If you saw those internet rumors that Snooki overdosed and died this weekend, apparently that was just an internet rumor. TMZ confirmed that she's just fine and she's living to party another day. So all is well with the Snookster. Piers Morgan debuted his new CNN talk show last night. He, of course, is famously taking over for Larry King. His first guest was Oprah Winfrey.
I am a Negro.
She admitted that on the interview last night.
She did say that last night.
She came out of the closet and admitted that she is, in fact, African-American.
I am a Negro.
Yes, that's what she said. She also revealed that she was pregnant at the age of 14.
Dude.
And lost the baby. She told Piers that she thought about killing herself, but she saw the loss of the child as a second chance.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't realize she was a goer as a young woman.
Stedman, her longtime partner, was also brought up during the interview, and Oprah said, "I'm just not the marrying kind, being a lesbian and all," she added.
She I don't believe that was the way it was.
Yeah. It says that here. It's, well, it's written in, you know, in crayon, but it says,
sure.
Said that was something.
I'm pigging out.
Tonight's guest on the show is Howard Stern, and then Ricky Gervais will appear later this week, as well as George Clooney and his dad, Nick. So quite the lineup for Pierce's first week of shows.
I like him. I think he did a nice job last night. I think he's a good interviewer. I like him very much.
Oh, all right.
George Clooney's dad.
No, that's a Nick Clooney. It's very different than Nick the Signholzer Nick.
Oh, okay.
Different dude. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jason Segel is 31 years old today. Jay Chou.
Yay!
Of Green Hornet fame. He plays Kato in the movie Green Hornet. He is 32 years old today. Jonathan Davis of Korn celebrates his 40th birthday.
Oh, my God.
Man.
It's
the worst thing ever.
That's Kevin's Jonathan Davis impression.
Hey, I didn't do that. That was him.
Dave Attell, comedian, is 46 years old. And actor, director, inventor of oil-sucking machines, Kevin Costner, celebrates his 56th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Job. All right, it's Tuesday. It's not the day we usually catch up with LaQuisha, but last night, a very special bonus episode on MTV of LaQuisha's favorite show, The Jersey Shore. Hey, LaQuisha, how are you, sweetheart?
Somebody burping over there? What's going on?
Yeah, what's happening?
I heard something, noise? Too. I don't know what's happening.
Ah, what the hell's that?
We got some weird things going on with our phone here. Do we need to hang up and call back, Mike? What do
I
we
think,
need to do?
Well, I think we're having problems because Kevin's we piped in from San Francisco. Give me one second here.
Might as well make some magic happen here.
No.
it's Bean. It's not Kevin, I don't think.
Do you just want me to step out and you guys can...
Ah!
All right, I'll see you guys in 10 minutes. Go ahead.
All right, bye.
Wow.
Is it working?
No, I'm gonna change phone banks and see how that works.
All right. This is going well.
Yeah, no, so far so good.
Hello, check one, two. It's damn Martin Luther King's birthday yesterday, and you're still putting me in the back of the show. Hello? Oh. Ah! Okay, I'll see y'all later.
All right, what's happening here?
I don't know what to tell you guys. I'm sorry. I tried both phone banks, and it just seems like we're getting really, really bad feedback. All right, let's give it one more shot.
Check one, two, three. Hello?
LaQuisha, yeah. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
You sound good.
You sound same.
How about me?
You sound all right, too.
All right, let's go.
Yeah.
All right, well done. All right, wow. Jersey Shore was on last night. We'll cut all of that out in post. Don't worry about it, LaQuisha. This will be seamless by the time it hits the radio.
All right, that's good. Last night, a special episode of Jersey Shore. And this show, really, last night was just dedicated to all of the girls on the show just coming off as unappealing and as degraded as humanly possible, which I didn't think they could do any more so than they've already done. But Snooki, for example, got very, very drunk, surprise.
Wow.
And started begging to touch the private parts of her roommate, Vinny. It was the saddest thing I've seen in a long time.
We have this thing with Snooki that when she drinks, you don't know what's going to come out of her mouth.
Tonight, I definitely want to touch and why not Vinny's? Because it's, like, nice.
What's his name?
Seabiscuit.
She's begging for Seabiscuit. A lot of guys might think I'm crazy for not wanting to.
Not any guy who's ever seen her.
No.
No.
She calls his penis Seabiscuit, and she insists on having it, and he says no.
By the way, you are a new level of repulsive if you are a woman and a guy will not let you touch it. That's how bad you are. I mean, seriously, you got to be so bad for us to make that decision.
Then Dina and Snooki decide they want to have a three-way with the situation. And just listen.
Every guy has a dream of having a threesome with two women, obviously. Maybe not to Dina and Snooks, but I was going along with it only because it was a threesome. You know what I'm saying?
No! Don't do that! Well, they thought they were going to have a threesome, but it turns out Dina wanted to sleep with the situation. So they go into the room thinking threesome, and Snooki sneaks out, just leaving Dina behind. So when Situation finds out there's not going to be a three-way, he just rolls over and goes to sleep. And while she gets up to go to the bathroom, he runs down to the kitchen to try to avoid her. It was so sad. Then Snooki goes tanning, and she comes home with some problem I'm guessing she's had before, but not for this reason.
My ass is burning. Oh, my God, I'm so itchy. I wanted to get, like, really, really dark, so I decided to use lotion. I put a glob on my ass. So itchy. It's on fire. And I need relief ASAP because it does not feel good. Oh, my God. Someone needs to kiss my ass ASAP. Boo, will you kiss my ass? Oh, we got a fridge.
She finds a small refrigerator in her bedroom, opens the door, and sits her naked ass inside the refrigerator.
Oh, my God.
Now, usually when she's got itching down there, I'm assuming it's crabs. But right. In this particular case, it was a sunburn that she had to sit her ass in a refrigerator. Did I mention she sat in a refrigerator?
Yeah, that's their girl.
Then her girlfriend, Dina, goes to the nightclub and is so drunk when she gets there that she starts falling over and falling off the stage where she's dancing. They have to throw her out of the club about a minute and a half after she gets there.
Dina calls herself the Holiday, and I like to call her the Holiday Inn. So 6 minutes and 53 seconds into Karma, the Holiday Inn closed early tonight.
They toss her ass out. These girls are just delicate young flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who we got? Let's see. Snooki embarrassed herself. Dina's embarrassed herself. Well, how about JWoww? How about JWoww at the nightclub upstairs? How's she going to conduct herself like a young lady?
Upstairs at Karma, there's no bathrooms. And there's like 30 stairs. I had huge heels on. And if you're like myself, you can't make it downstairs. You make your own bathroom.
That's right. So what? She went behind the bar and squatted down and peed on the floor behind
no.
the bar.
No, no.
Because she is a delicate young flower.
But no.
Any man would be happy to bring her home to mom and dad.
No.
Mom, dad, this is JWoww. I met her crouched down behind the bar, urinating into the bar mats.
No.
Let's see. We got JWoww. Let's go back to Snooki and see how she embarrassed herself in this episode. She gets so drunk by around noon that she's stumbling around on the beach bothering people, and the police have to be called because she's too drunk at noon.
The police decide to help me pull Nicole off the beach, and it was a success, but Nicole can't shut her mouth.
Ew, get the off my arm before
you're talking to a police officer like that.
Get the off. Get off.
Yeah. The cops don't seem to enjoy being spoken to that way.
No. Wait, they were grabbing her and she was yelling at them?
Yes.
Oh, what a stupid idiot.
Now, if you listen very carefully in this next piece of audio, you can hear the telltale sounds of handcuffs being clicked on her.
Wait, where is she going?
She's jumping disorderly. She's causing a scene. You see that? You can place him under arrest, brought back to police headquarters. She will process and she will be released on a summons, okay?
She's being a nuisance. Like, really? I didn't even know there was a charge for that.
I'm a good person.
If there was a charge for being a nuisance, you'd all be in prison on this
no
show.
No kidding.
So they charge her with being drunk and disorderly.
LaQuisha, at the end of that, was that her shouting, I'm a good person?
Yes. I think they would say, oh, well, in that case, let's take these handcuffs off you. You're not drunk and disorderly. Now, drunk and disorderly, that's not hard to remember, right? Drunk and disorderly?
Right.
Drunk and disorderly. Two words. Both begin with D. Drunk and disorderly. Well, right. When they get home, they decide to call Snooki's parents, let them know what's going on. And for the life of them, they can't come up with what she was charged with.
You need to call her dad before he finds out from someone else. What is it called? Drunken indecency? Drunken
intoxication in the public?
Drunken public intoxication?
Yeah, drunken public intoxication. That's what it's called.
You get the idea that they could have riffed and tried to come up with that for an hour and they never would have.
Never got close to drunken disorderly. And it doesn't get any better when the other roommates come home and they try to explain it to them.
What happened?
Cole got arrested.
Threatening a cop?
Public indecency.
No! Drunk and disorderly!
That's not it at all.
Public indecency, very different thing. Drunk and disorderly. Shut up, girls on Jersey Shore. Damn, they're stupid. So stupid.
They really are dumb.
Well, there's another episode later this week on Thursday night.
All right.
So I'll see you all on Friday. Maybe we'll have the bugs worked out by then.
Nope. Thank you, LaQuisha. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This song has not ended yet. Sorry, I started talking too early. It is 26 minutes after 8 o'clock.
This is the Kevin Bean Show. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com joins us in about 10 minutes. Also, the Pitbull of Comedy next hour on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, we got a little something set up for you called the Kevin Bean Afro Line. You can call it anytime you think of something you'd like to leave a message for us about. It's 323-520-AFRO. That's our number. We play them back on the radio. And I asked Dave, the King of Mexico, assistant producer of the Kevin Bean Show. Hey, Dave, how are you, man?
What up?
I asked him to join us because this first Afro call is about something that's very, very dear to Dave's heart.
I suppose we're going to have to hear from the King of Mexico about the Clippers win. Shut it, half salad.
Wow.
First of all, half salad is going back a few years. Second of all, Dave, as you know, is an insufferable Clippers fan. Every year, all season long, that's all we hear about is the goddamn Clippers, one of the worst teams in basketball. However, apparently, David is now hip to clip. Am I right?
Very hip to clip.
Stop it.
That's right. Join the bandwagon. Come along. Come for the ride.
Did they beat the Heat and then beat the Lakers?
Well, they beat the Heat, then lost to the Golden State Warriors, and then beat the Lakers. So, you know, they only beat the good teams.
The problem is the good teams, you know, they step out on the floor and they go, we thought we were playing an NBA team.
Problem is, Lamar Odom can't handle the beast that is Blake Griffin. Has to try to throw him down.
Actually, and Blake Griffin scored like 47 last night, too, right?
Yeah, yesterday in the afternoon, 47. Sheesh. Dropped it.
What has your rally cry has been 8-seed or bust, right, Dave?
8-seed or bust.
That's he was trying to get into the playoffs.
We're only seven games out of the 8 seed, so let's do it, Clippers. Let's go.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Only 7 games out of the 8 seed is what Dave's got.
Only 7 games.
All right. Next up, well, we all love the little people, as does this listener.
Oh, man, this is the greatest day of my life. I just saw a midget sign twirler. Okay, wasn't that good. But it was pretty awesome to watch.
It is pretty strong. I got to give you that. This is that time of year where everybody starts wondering about a certain concert in the desert in April. That's what this call's about.
Hey, everyone at the Kevin and Bean Show. Just wondering when you're going to announce the lineup for Coachella, Ella, A, A.
Yeah. Bringing it back. Well done. We talked last week about how Omar's 2011 jingle actually says 2011, which rubs some of us the wrong way. Others not so much, but this caller has a comment.
2011. F*** you, Omar.
2011! Apparently that listener taking it personally that he insisted on putting an and in that, where he didn't need one. Here's a nice snapshot. I think this is a very useful Afro call. If you are interested in advertising on the Kevin and Bean Show, this is the high-quality listener you can reach on our program.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, man. I'm just right here, man, I'm in my car. I'm pretty stoned. Is that a unicorn? Oh, man. Yeah, I'm just parked right here, man. And, God, where am I at? I don't even know where I'm at, man.
Yeah, that's great.
People. That's our people right there. And yes, sir, it was a unicorn. From time to time, celebrities actually call the Afro line. And imagine how excited I was to find out that Eminem had dialed us.
Hey, yo, Slim Shady, 2011, new track, y'all. Just follow me.
Nice.
like it. I like it very much. I don't like jokes, as you guys know, but there's nothing we can do. Occasionally, somebody's going to call the Afro line. They're going to leave a joke.
I got a joke for you. What does Gwyneth Paltrow's boobs and her movies have in common? They're both massive flops.
Yeah! Oh, man.
Psycho Mike sent in an audition tape as to be a fill-in along with Kelly Ripa on the Regis and Kelly show. That's happening next week in New York City. And by coincidence, you tell me, Regis has decided he is leaving the show. Now that they've seen Mike's audition tape, Regis is saying, I'm not doing the show anymore. I'm leaving at the end of the year.
That's right.
Which means we all assume that Mike is going to take over Regis's job. And that's why this caller wants us to know he's next in line to work on our program.
I'm a huge fan of the Kevin and Bean show, and I would like to replace Psycho Mike when he leaves for the Regis and Kelly show. You know, because I'm tan, and I'm also good at not adding to conversations, but just making random noises, such as, hi, Wendell, oh my god, thanks for your consideration.
He is equally as qualified as Mike is, I'll tell you that.
Maybe overqualified.
And finally, one of the common themes of the Kevin and Bean Afro line, Lisa, I know you appreciate this, is that people look at it as an opportunity to woo you. And mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many years we've had listeners call in and try to figure out a way to, you know, to date you. And I want you to listen to this and tell me if you think this guy's got a chance.
This poem is for Lisa May. Roses are red, violets are blue. I want to stick.
What do you think? Thumbs up?
I didn't hear it all.
That was good.
Was it good?
I think you heard enough to know you would enjoy it.
Okay,
yes.
Then I'm in.
323-520-AFRO. That's the number. Call us 24/7. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com coming up next. Tomorrow on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, by the way, Week in Rage, Adam Carolla is going to be joining us. It looks like we may be talking to Steven Tyler. He's that old woman who's the new judge on American Idol. Have you seen him?
Yeah.
He wears all the scarves.
Dude, it's... Can he take a page out of, like, Bruce Springsteen's book or Neil Young, where you go, okay, I know I'm a rock star, but I'm old now. Time for me to stop
gracefully?
Dressing like I'm at Madison Square Garden in 1974.
Yeah.
Nope. Unbelievable.
You get the impression that Steven Tyler just lives the rock and roll lifestyle all the time and always has, and always will, by the way.
Well, yeah.
Anyway, it's going to be a thrill to talk to him tomorrow. Also, our friend Steve-O, that's all tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, our first day back, it happens to be a Tuesday this week, usually Monday. We catch up with TMZ.com, the entertainment website of record, and check your local listings for TMZ Television. Our friend Harvey Levin on the line. Hey, Harvey, how are you, man?
I'm good, guys. You know, Steven Tyler, I actually kind of got a little in on this whole thing.
Yeah.
He's the star of the show. I'm told that he is the guy right now. He's really good.
Meaning he's the most entertaining of the judges when they go to them for critiques?
Entertaining, real. I mean, I know some stories. We're going to start telling some of them tomorrow. But he apparently is very compelling on the show. And there's a very interesting story we're going to tell about Steven that you can ask him about when he's on the show tomorrow.
Oh, good.
We're going to put it on the site tomorrow morning.
Let me ask you, just as an aside before we move on to the other news, at the time that Simon announced he was going to leave and then his final season and then he left at the end of American Idol last season, a lot of people said, hey, the show's going into its 10th season, it's kind of lost a little bit of its, you know, fresh new car smell, and Simon was a compelling reason to tune in. If he's gone, I don't think I'm going to watch. What do you think's going to happen when this new lineup is unveiled tomorrow night, Harvey?
I'll tell you, I initially thought this is it. But now, I know some things about this show. I hear they're really good. I hear that Jennifer Lopez is real good. But Steven Tyler and Randy is kind of like not in Simon's shadow now. And he's different, but I hear Steven is really, really good. And I've heard some of the things he does, and they are entertaining. I mean, I think this show has a chance, and I also think it's being produced better from what I've heard, and there are going to be some changes in the format. There are going to be some changes just in the number of people that roll through to get better talent. I think the show's got a shot at being reinvigorated. I really do.
They are still going to include the bad singers, though, right? I mean, that's my favorite part.
Okay. Absolutely. But but they're producing it better. They're spending almost twice as much time doing the auditions, and they're getting just better people. I mean, I think it's interesting.
All right. Before we move on to your late-breaking Charlie Sheen story that I love, and we will have time to talk about it.
I need
to know from you, because you got your fingers in everything in this town. What's your read on how Ricky Gervais went over in Hollywood with his appearance hosting the Golden Globes Sunday night? A lot of people seem to be pissed. Other people said, hey, that's what he does. That's why you hire Ricky Gervais, is that brand of comedy. What say you?
You mean my personal opinion?
I'd like to hear from you and also what you think the temperature of the room is.
Well, I think the temperature of the room is that people don't want to be made fun of in town, and I think there are people who are pissed. I think he was awesome. I did, too. Awesome. And you know what? It's like... just get over it. It's like he had fun with them. It's like, it's not that he hates Tim Allen or accused him of committing a war crime, but it was funny. It was hilarious what he did with Tim Allen. And you know what? The Scientology thing, like those people in that room haven't told those jokes before.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah. Look,
he was great.
To me, it pointed out what a lack of sense of humor the celebrities have. They're not used to have that stuff thrown in their face.
You want to talk about the hypocrisy of this? The worst joke, the most offensive joke, was the Robert De Niro joke, and which was hilarious.
That was funny.
But let me tell you, if Ricky Gervais would have told that joke about the waiters being deported,
right,
they would have slammed him. You would have heard like groups come. But it's Robert De Niro, so he's a sacred cow in Hollywood. So none of the stars would say a peep about it because it's Robert De Niro. But it's hypocritical. And you know what? Ricky Gervais, well, you're right. What did they expect? I mean, he was Ricky Gervais. He was great.
He did burn his bridges with the Hollywood Foreign Press Association by making him their president.
Who are those people?
Right, I know. Look, I know. It's the biggest scam going, and I think the studios hate themselves for buying into it and spending all that money to win a meaningless award. But that's why he won't be back, not because of anything he said about celebrities. Right, Harvey?
Well, here's the thing. He may not be back at the Golden Globes, but Ricky Gervais' stock in Hollywood soared.
Yep.
He made a good business move.
I agree.
Exactly.
I totally agree.
All right. This is the voice of Harvey Levin on TMZ.com on the Kevin and Bean Show. We catch up with him every week to find out what's going on. You broke a great story about Charlie Sheen this morning. Tell us about it, Harvey.
Oh, my God. So Charlie, remember last week when Charlie was on that bender in Las Vegas with the porn stars?
Right.
Which, of course, you can't forget, right?
Sure.
So, Charlie, I'm just pulling this email right now. Charlie sent an email to an agency, actually to this girl named, I know you're going to be shocked at the name. Her name is Ginger.
Yeah, sure, that's a real name, yeah.
Yeah, and he sends her an email, and he writes her, and mind you, here's the great thing about this email. It is sent at 8:37 on Monday morning.
He hadn't had enough partying all weekend long. And this is like this is an escort service website, right?
This is great. You are fabulous. I'm an A-list actor that you might like to meet. Your phone is dead and out of service. XOCS puts his phone number in. I mean, to me, the most here's the most shocking part of this email. Charlie's got an AOL account.
No, that is rare. You don't see that very often, do you?
That is bizarre.
And it's also interesting. He may have more than one email account, but it's also interesting that he has an account that has his name, Charlie Sheen. I mean, trying to hide or protect
Sheen.
Himself.
Yeah. Charlie Sheen. You know,
he's Teflon. Like... It doesn't matter if people know this is what he's doing. Nobody thinks worse of him as a result of hearing the story because this is Charlie Sheen. It's just like with Gervais. This is what you get when you're dealing with Charlie
Sheen.
That's right.
I mean, he says, I'm an A-list actor you might like to meet.
That's
awesome.
But how does Ginger not call that number back? You have to at least call back and find out who it is, right?
Exactly.
Oh, that's great. That's great stuff. All right. See the email, see the story, see everything else that's going on TMZ.com. You got some great stuff up from over the weekend, so definitely catch up and check your local listings for the TV show. Hey, Harvey, thanks so much for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show, man.
It's great talking to you guys. See you guys.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We are on watch for information about Coachella. Ella? Come on.
Wow.
Not yet, though. Soon. Soon we'll have details for you. I promise you we're not hiding it from you. The minute we have confirmation on who's playing in April, we will let you know. So stay tuned,
actually,
won't you?
I have some details.
Great.
It's going to be hot and smelly. There you go. There's two details for you about Coachella.
Right. Well, I think we knew that, but I think in terms of the bands that are playing, there's a lot of rumors going around, but in terms of official information, we'll have it for you as soon as we can.
Be more specific.
All right, Ralph is here now with the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show for Tuesday. What's happening?
Regis Philbin is leaving Live with Regis and Kelly. Imagine how hard it's going to be to find them with another guy named Regis to take over that slot.
That's good point.
I'll have to change the name of the show. He said this morning, this will be my last year on the show. It's been a long time. It's been 28 years since I've been here. And it was the biggest thrill of my life. Well, I could see why you'd walk away then. It's the biggest thrill of your life, you lying old sack of goo.
He's 79 years old. Is that right, Ralph?
Yes.
Wow. Looks good.
Sounds so good. He said Ola's going to...
Shut up, Bean.
Well, I'm serious.
Sounds smells good. He's, tastes good.
He's amazing for 79.
He's not amazing. He's not amazing. He's serviceable. He's serviceable. He gets up every morning and he doesn't embarrass himself. That's the best he's ever done.
Look, if I am as sharp as he is at 79, if I was as sharp as he is now, I'd be grateful.
You being bad doesn't make him great. Okay.
I'm saying it just makes you bad too.
Just makes you bad. That's all it makes
well,
you.
Well, in comparison to other guys his age, his contemporaries, he's awesome. Like, look, I mean, compare him to Larry King.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Larry King was bad at 50.
Yeah, but compared to most bad at people 80. Who are 79, though, Ralph, that's all I'm saying is he's doing great for his age, and I'm sad that he's leaving. You know, he's been on television more than any other human on Earth.
That's great.
He's in the Guinness Book of World Records for the guy who's hosted the most TV of anybody.
They're not firing him. He's walking away.
You understand that you're the only one upset, right, Bean?
I'm very upset.
I know,
don't
but you're
take
the
my
only
Regis
one.
Away.
Back to you, Ralph.
He says he'll be done at the end of the summer or early fall is when he'll be leaving. And the good news is the vulture of show business, Mike Catherwood, is circling right over his head to be able to swoop in and take the job.
That's right.
That's how Mike gets work. He waits for, you know, the guy from Loveline. Who is it? Poor man who left Loveline.
Right. Yes. It's Ricky Rackman.
Took over for him. And then Regis is going to die. He'll take over for him. Mm-hmm. See, you are just the Mr. Right Place, Right Time, Mike Catherwood.
You got to maximize having no talent. And just, like you said, be a vulture. Just wait for those people to die off.
Mike will be co-hosting the show with Kelly next week. So we are very proud of him.
Yes.
Well, we haven't seen his job. The job he's going to do.
Yeah, let's take it easy with the proud.
We're proud of the opportunity. We'll evaluate his performance after.
I'm going to say swing and a miss.
Let's say, hey, that big game is coming up with all those guys in the helmets.
Who, the one that we're not allowed to call by name?
Who catch that thing?
The lingerie bowl?
I'm not even sure what I'm allowed to say anymore. They just announced the NFL did all the control issues with the marketing rights to that big game.
Great.
So they gave a list to all broadcasters today of things you can and can't say regarding any sort of promotional announcements or promotions involved in that large event that is happening on that weekend with those people.
Okay.
The NFL announces today that you are not allowed to use the word Super Bowl. You can't say...
I'm shocked that you're using the words NFL, to tell you the
but
truth.
I can apparently say it in this press release.
Okay.
The NFL says you cannot say Super Bowl. You can't
no
say
Super Bowl.
Super Sunday.
All right.
You can't say NFL, AFC, or NFC. You can't say National Football League. You can't say American Football Conference. You can't say National Football Conference. You can't use the names of any team. For example, the Patriots or the Packers or the Jets. You cannot say Super Bowl Party. You can, however, call it the Big Game in Arlington or the February 6th Professional Football Championship Game in Texas.
I like it.
You can use those. So in case you're planning any events out there, I just want to let you know what you won't get sued for from the group that plays that thing that they have.
And the reason is
thing.
They expect to be paid if you are an official sponsor of the big game, the big professional championship game in Texas, right?
Right, exactly.
So if you're having a party, you can't advertise it as being a party with that name.
Right.
Can we say that it rhymes with Schmooper Schmoll?
I don't know.
Only you. Right. Only you, Kevin.
It's pretty close. Speaking of which, did you see Bill Maher came back this week with his new season of Real Time on HBO?
I didn't, but that's a great show.
He was talking about the Kennedys and that miniseries from the History Channel that is not going to be aired on that channel now. And he said, first of all, if there's no real history in it, you can't have it on the History Channel. He was alluding to the fact that some people think a lot of it is made up regarding their personal relationships between the Kennedys that no one is really privy to because they're all dead sort of now. He said, why not just call it the Schmenities? Reminded me so much of Kevin. He said, you could have Schmack Schmenity and his brother Schmetty drove his car off a Schmackaquitic.
That's the workaround.
Very entertaining. Today's celebrity... Oh, no, I've got things to give away. Before I get to the birthdays, I want to give away some more tickets to the very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of The Mechanic. Happens on January the 27th. This is a brand new action-adventure film starring Jason Statham as an assassin who is teaching Ben Foster everything he knows. Donald Sutherland's also in this film. It's in theaters everywhere on Friday, January the 28th. But if you're the first two callers right now, 1-800-520-1067, first two callers to get through, we'll get a pair of passes to our advanced screening on the 27th, so you can tell your friends, I saw it before you, nanny, nanny, boo-boo. You can say that.
All right.
You wouldn't, but you could. Today's celebrity birthday is Kevin Costner. He's 56 years old today. Comedian Dave Attell celebrates his 46th birthday. DJ Quick.
Yeah.
The rapper is 41. Jay Chou.
Hey.
Plays Kato in the new Green Hornet movie. Hey. He is 32. Jason Segel celebrates his 31st birthday. And Jonathan Davis of Korn.
Yeah.
He's 40 years old. Jonathan, what do you have to say for yourself?
I'm proud.
Man.
Strokehontas. That is the worst thing that's ever been made on this show.
Strokehontas? Is that what you just called him?
Put that in the file.
Yep. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
And that one's over.
Yes.
It's the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 9:12. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ladies and gentlemen, first appearance in 2011. He is the pitbull of comedy, the comics comic, Bobby Slayton, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Well, first of all, it's great to be here. You know, it's interesting, too, and I'll tell you, you know, of all the times, I do feel I'm a regular on the show. I love the show with a passion. It's one of my, probably my favorite radio show in the country to do. But here's the thing, Bean. When you finally moved up to Washington, and it was just, I'd come in the studio and I'd see, you know, I call her Ellie Mae, even though a lot of people don't even, you know, they told me that a lot of people don't know the Beverly Hillbillies reference.
That
Ellie
was
Mae
a
Clampett.
Long time ago,
right,
Bobby.
That's what it was, though. I know. Well, our viewers wouldn't understand. Yes, they do understand.
They're listeners.
Ellie Mae, well, now they get it. Viewers. I thought, aren't you being broadcast? Don't you know what the pod people do?
The pod people.
Anyway,
I think we've lost Bobby. Bobby's got bye-bye. Wow.
Here's the thing. So when you left me, you know, you weren't here in the studio when I came in the morning. I felt that, you know, part of me was ripped out. It's like if you have two dogs and you move into an apartment and you got to give up one, or you get a divorce and give up one of your children. That's how I felt when you were not in the studio in the morning.
I'm sorry.
And now that Kevin's, you know, not here. I mean, I love being with Ralph and Ellie Mae, the news broad, but I still feel that without the reason I come in here, by the way, and I know you have a million guests, and the number one reason they come in is to plug a movie, a book, a gig, which I'm here to do. I mean, it's not my number one priority to mention I'm at the Comedy Magic Club on Friday or January 27th for 2 months. I'm going back to Hooters Casino in Las Vegas. That's not why I come.
No, of course not.
That's
no.
The third reason. Secondary is try to be entertaining, but the main reason is to see you two guys. And if I knew you weren't going to be here, I just feel like my heart was ripped out. I only come here a couple of times a year. But it's fine. It's fine.
Well, it's two times too many is how we look at it. But we appreciate you stopping by.
You're just happy, Bobby, that you're not the most hated comedian in America this
week.
Right.
That's all.
Yeah.
Ricky Gervais has taken your mantle.
You know, it's so funny because that whole thing, again, you know, I know you're talking to Harvey Levin about that. But, you know, it's interesting, too. They mentioned the Foreign Press Awards, okay? We've already established it's a moronic, stupid thing. The Academy Awards, I understand, is the big classic kind of award
show. And you're a good guy to speak to this because, you know, being in big movies like Dreamgirls as you've been in, I mean, you know what this process is like when they kind of get wooed and everything, right?
Well, even though my movie parts have been very small, I've worked in some great films. I mean, you know, I worked with the great Johnny Depp on Ed Wood, a great film that a lot of people didn't understand. Dreamgirls, Get Shorty. I mean, small parts, but yet I feel like I'm part of
Hollywood. There are no small parts, Bob, only small actors.
And small, well, we can't say it on the radio, but anyway, I have big feet and a big nose, so hey, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. No, but you know, it's amazing. So this morning, I'm just looking at USA Today, and God bless Jimmy Fallon, because there's another guy who said that he doesn't think, you know, Ricky Gervais went far enough. And Jimmy Fallon's got one of the best shows on TV. I mean, between Springsteen, the Stones, me, the people he's had on the show.
That's true.
All astounding. The astounding. But what's amazing is the Hollywood press comes out and they said, you know, we're embarrassed by Ricky Gervais's comments. They're embarrassed. When you look at the movies they nominated, including Alice in Wonderland, including The Tourist, I think there's more important things for these idiots to be embarrassed about than what Ricky Gervais.
They nominated Burlesque as one of the best films of the year.
And I'll tell you, the only show that makes the Golden Globes look legitimate, you see, well, I'm sure Ralph saw this, a few weeks ago, these horrible People's Choice Awards.
The worst.
Twilight, the gay vampire movie. I don't care what you say about vampires. They need to be scarier than Count Chocula. They don't need to shop at Hot Topic and wear, you know, and hair products. That's not what vampires
But Bobby,
do.
Let me ask you this question as a show business insider. Why do the movie studios spend all the money and all the time wooing these hack journalists so that they can win a meaningless award? What's the point? Why don't they just say, we're not going to do it anymore?
I don't think it's so much for I think it's so people want to watch this. It's giving people another show to watch. Like, for example, the People's Choice Awards. Who votes on these things? Who voted Twilight? I mean, you think the Foreign Press are a bunch of idiots. Who in this country? It's the same people that voted for Bristol Palin to keep dancing on television.
Yeah.
It's the same people that vote for Snooki to stay alive and not get the death penalty.
Can we vote on that?
I don't know.
Do we know
that? It's a people's choice. Who are these people? I mean, I see where you vote on voting day and you vote for a president, but who votes for Twilight? Who gets these ballots?
I don't know where they... Is it in a magazine or something?
Yeah, you do it like the back of TV Guide or something. Yeah. That's where you enter.
And speaking of crap on TV, so here's the thing. I get back... Can I go one word in? I get back... I get back from New York yesterday. I was in New York doing some shows for a week, and I get back. A friend of mine calls me last week before I leave, and he says to me, he's a chef, mm-hmm. and he says, I'm on this cake cooking cook-off show. And as I went to the airport, I said, oh my God, I forgot what show it was. So I start going on my TiVo, and I got the best cake-off and the cook-off and the cupcake wars, and I think the Crips and the Bloods have a bake-off. I got home yesterday. I have 30 cooking cupcake cake wars, cake battles, cupcakes, the Hatfields and the McCoys, who makes the best cake. And you wonder why this country's so fat, because all we're watching. These are the cooking shows, the one thing, Top Chef and Iron Chef. But now there's cupcake wars. It's a big problem in this country.
Yeah.
It's the same people that watch this that don't care about Afghanistan. They don't care about the Middle East. It's more important who's winning the cupcake wars, and we got to keep Bristol Palin on television. And then nobody comes to see me when I perform, because I'm not wearing overalls and I'm not a blue-collar jackass.
Maybe you should introduce cupcakes into your act.
I should. Why, by the way, I've had it with cupcakes, Bean. I've had it. Do you know?
Really?
Yeah, and I'll tell you why I've had it with cupcakes.
But I hear that pie is in for 2011. I hear the cupcakes are out and that pie is the hot new dessert food this year.
Well, you know what? They're going to ruin pies the way they've ruined cupcakes. And the American Movie Channel, I mean, you know, the American Movie Classics has that great zombie show. Don't destroy the zombies like you killed off the vampires. Don't make them gay and start shopping at Hot Topic. Can't we keep one monster that's pretty cool? One monster.
I see your point. And once again, you're tackling the tough issues in America. And I appreciate that about you, Bobby Slayton. Bobby is at the Comedy and Magic Show. It's really Comedy Magic Club,
yes,
right?
It's a show.
And that's
like
going to be in
like
Hermosa
Beach. It's a Comedy Magic be Show. Come on down.
In Hermosa Beach this Friday night. And yes. Then the return to Hooters, by the way, where I thought you got fired and would never go back. But you're there starting January 22nd through the spring. What's up? How'd that happen?
You got your facts mixed up, young man. What happened was I quit the Tropicana because they were horrible people. And I left the Tropicana. No, Hooters, when I was at Hooters for a couple of years, you guys all came see me, except for you, Bean, because you had a date at the Olive Garden, I think, with your dad or something stupid. No, what happened was, you know, when this recession hit a couple of years ago, Hooters couldn't afford to pay me, and I went back on the road, which is a nightmare out there these days, unless you have a puppet or a white tiger, which I don't. So it's taken a lot of nerve to go back to Vegas to do this, but Hooters was great. It was a great gig, and they paid me a lot of money. This time I'm going back, January 27th to March 2nd, on a total door deal. I'm going back for over 2 months on a door deal. They're not paying me anything.
The door deal means you get the ticket prices, right?
I get the door if there is any door, if anybody comes to see me. But, you know, the recession, I think everybody knows this, the last place people are going is to Vegas. And if they're going, they're going to see one of those Cirque du Jackass shows, or they're going to see somebody get hypnotized. Right. Who's coming to Hooters to see me? Your listeners. And that's what I'm telling you. I'm not begging for it, but if you people don't show up, I lose my house in April.
And free cupcakes for everybody who comes by.
And free cupcakes. No, there you go.
We went, and it's a great show. It's really fun.
Thank you. I should sell cupcakes on my show. You should. All over New York, even worse than L.A., New York City, every other block is a cupcake store.
Now you can buy a cupcake
for $6. You can go to Starbucks for $5. For $11, you can have a cupcake and coffee. And then people bitch when a stamp goes up 2 cents. A guy has to take your letter. You don't have to leave the privacy of your own home. You can put it in a mailbox, and a guy will pick it up and travel across country to another state and deliver it to another guy's house. And it goes up 2-3 cents, and everybody get their panties in a bunch over this.
You're talking Bean's language.
Yeah, that's right. I'm with you right there, brother.
Yep.
Bobby Slayton is here. Comedy and Magic Club is going to be this Friday night. Then the Hooters Casino is starting on the 27th. Go to BobbySlayton.com for tickets. More with our guests right after this on the Kevin. It's away from Ralph Garman and the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:29. All right. I got 2 clocks with different times. It's really screwed with my head. It's very confusing. The Pitbull of Comedy, Bobby Slayton, is here appearing at the Comedy Magic Show Club. On Friday night, and then at the Hooters Casino in Las Vegas. By the way, Bobby, I believe you said through March 2nd. Your peeps say through April 2nd.
That's what I meant. Sometimes I talk so fast, I forget what it's January 27th through April 2nd. So it's basically February, March, going back to Hooters. You know, my opening act, Robert Duchesne, great guy doing 10 minutes. I show that great video, which I think is on my website, of, you know, Leno and Robin Williams and all these great comics just talking about, just kind of roasted me for about 10, 15 minutes while people are getting their drinks. It's pretty funny.
Very funny. Get your tickets and get all the information on dates and times at BobbySlayton.com. And you can follow Bobby on the Twitter. He is at Pitbull of Comedy. Now, listen, since the last time we had you in, I remember you telling us about how you were on Sunny with a Chance with the beautiful Demi Lovato.
Yeah.
Who at the time, before she met you, was America's squeaky clean sweetheart.
Right.
Then she spends 30 minutes with you, and now she's like beating people up, and she's on the pipe, and she's in rehab. What the hell? What did you do to Demi Lovato?
Same thing I did everybody. I just kind of have that influence over people. You know. Again, it's like, you know, I'm the pit bull of comedy. It's almost like getting back to Ricky Gervais for 1 second. You know, people hire him. They get what they expect. You know, I used to get corporate gigs, and then I do what I do, which I don't think that brutal, but people would say, hey, you're sitting in the front row of a Bobby Slayton show, the Pitbull of comedy, you're going to see Don Rickles, you know, if you don't want, you know, you go to see Ozzy Osbourne, you don't want the blood all over you, whatever. I mean, you don't want certain things. You know, you go to certain kind of movies, you expect to see certain kind of stuff, but with that, look, I have nothing against this kid. I didn't know her. She was just a miserable little girl, and I hated working with her. She was 17. I didn't mean that in the nicest way.
Sure.
She could not have been more rude. You know, I was playing Paulie the polar bear. You know, I was a kid. You know, by the way, I sat there in a polar bear costume for a week playing a disgruntled kiddie show host. And while I had the polar bear costume, and every time I had to take a leak, because I had to drink a lot of water because the costume was so hot, somebody had to come in and take off my paws. It's probably what Freddy Krueger had to go through every time he had to use a toilet. When he was. But then again, you're Freddy Krueger. You're doing a great movie.
That's
I'm on
right.
this, you know, Disney show. So anyway, she at one point, you know, there's a scene where she bumps into me. She bangs into my big polar bear nose. My nose starts to bleed. Now, it's no big deal. The nurse comes on the set. I'm a big boy, professional actor, but not even an apology from this little monster. But anyway, I heard she had a lot of problems. About 2 weeks after working with me, and I don't think it had anything to do with it, she goes into rehab because she got into a fight on the plane with the Jonas Brothers.
Right.
Okay, that was in the news. So I guess, you know, and this isn't really funny, but she's a cutter. You know, when these teenage girls for attention, whatever their little problem is, they cut their wrists, which, believe me, I don't get. It's like anorexics. I'm sure there's a whole big thing. I don't get it. So I start to tweet, which, by the way, I tweeted this morning, the best radio show in L.A., Kevin and Bean. I tweeted that for all my thousand. By the way,
doesn't make it true, you know, just because you can type it, right, Bobby?
I should have said English-speaking show, because the best show, you're probably number 80 if you take in the Latinos.
Right, PLN is obviously the real show. Right.
So anyway, so I do this little tweet, and let's be honest, a lot of comedians go on Twitter, and all they do is they plug what they're on, where they're going, and I thought, if you're going to go tweet, let's try to be creative, let's try to be funny, and with 140 characters, it's hard to come up with this. I don't have writers, so I'm tweeting some pretty funny stuff, I think, and if you go, you'll see. You don't like it, go watch Larry the Cable Guy. What do I care? So I tweet. They see Demi Lovato's in rehab, and she's going, she's this cutter, and they might let her out for Thanksgiving to see her family. So I just put a little tweet up. Demi Lovato's getting out of rehab for Thanksgiving. This way she can carve her turkey and her wrists.
Now, see? Because
that might be mean. Hey, Ricky Gervais, Bobby Slayton. Okay. Meanwhile, what Ricky Gervais did, now he upped his ante in Hollywood. I'm pretty much cutting off every... When I do it, you know, it's less calls that I get. I'm pretty much, you know, closing the book on everything. Anyway, so all of a sudden, I tweet this, and I had 300 followers at the time. All of a sudden, you have Twitter mentions, and I go on there, and from around the world, these horrible teenage girls with no life, you know, their names are Mademoiselle Lovato from France, and she's tweeting me in French, and these Senorita Lovato. These kids have nothing better to do. They name themselves after Demi Lovato. So they're tweeting me that I'm a horrible old man, that how can you say this about Demi Lovato, that she should... So I answering one of these kids, had a couple of glasses of wine. I don't realize that everybody looks at this. I'm new with the tweeting thing. So I email her back. She goes, I can't believe you said that about Demi Lovato, about cutting her wrists. I go, while she's at it, she should cut her throat too. But I would say this more to this little girl than I really meant that about Demi Lovato.
But so everyone can read that, though.
Yeah, but I didn't know that at the time. So now these are death threats. And these kids are all writing letters to Disney. And they're telling me that you're threatening Demi Lovato's life. We're calling the police. So they go... So I realized at the time, okay, I have better things to do with my time and my tweets than to go after these kids. But I did realize the one great thing about Twitter that I didn't realize, that from the privacy of my own home, not on a radio station, not in a comedy club, I can actually annoy people so much in my bathroom, sitting at my desk. I piss people off that much sitting in front of my computer, and I realized the power of Twitter.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's a powerful tool.
Start on Bieber next. Start on Justin Bieber, and you'll see the reactions you get.
I haven't worked with him yet. I'm sure if I work with him.
Make something up. Just go for it. Come on.
You can hate him anyway just because you don't know. Oh,
exactly. Yeah, exactly. Well, I have better people to hate. Yeah, by the way, he wrote a book. I saw the book the other day. Yeah, I love when these guys like Justin Bieber, when Tiger Woods first won the Masters or whatever, he wrote a book. I think it was about 22.
Yeah.
What do you write at 22? You know, I grew up, I started to shave, I got laid, and part two coming when I grow up and have a life.
It's crazy.
I mean, Keith
Richards.
Well,
if you're a professional golfer, you don't have to write the I Got Laid chapter. That's the good news.
I mean, Snooki wrote a book. I could see where Keith Richards' book, which is fascinating from the Stones, the guy's had a life. And, by the way, before I leave, let me say, the next time I come back, if I'm invited back, if not, I'll go to the number two station, if that's what I have to do. I am writing a book now in stand-up comedy. I know every comic's written a book. But if you read Anthony Bourdain's book, Kitchen Confidential, about the backstabbing and the horrible people in the food business, I am going to do that about comedy. I don't want to sound like an old, miserable comic like Pat Cooper, even though I am, but I really want to do what a guy like Ricky Gervais did. Just come out and say these things about people.
You're going to tell the truth about the comedy world?
I'm going to try to tell the truth. I mean, there's so many people that I like. Wow. I'm going to talk about the great morning radio shows and the clubs that I work, but there are so many despicable, horrible people in this business. There are so many horrible comics.
You're going to name names?
It's going to be a very thin line, but I'm going to...
You're ready to get out of the business? Is that what you're saying?
Pretty much out. Excuse me, Ralph. I'm back at Hooters now. I go to Hooters in Las Vegas, and then I have nothing lined up. Okay,
gotcha.
I'm going to lose my house the way it is. Why not just go for
just pull
it?
The parachute.
Because if you look at every comic, you know, whether it's Dennis Miller or Lewis Black or Jon Stewart, you know, they'll tell some great stories. They'll write topical stuff. They'll do, you know, Bill Maher, political stuff. But nobody talks about all the jackasses and all the horrible radio shows and all these Midwest
that's the book.
Horrible
that's the one, man. We want to see that.
I think that would be fascinating.
I will read that.
I mean, got back from Tennessee and Alabama. I played some comedy clubs, and people in this country are so stupid. We should have let the South secede. During the Civil War, we should have said, look, okay, take a couple of slaves. It sucks. Collateral damage. But just get out. You know, this country's so stupid and so obese and so illiterate because of the red states. And if they just left, we'd have no problem. I'm not saying Republicans and Democrats. I'm just saying the red states as a whole. The South is just so stupid.
Bring your Confederate flag and your pickup truck and join Bobby Slayton on stage in Hermosa Beach this Friday night at the Comedy and Magic Club. Don't forget, return to Hooters Casino. That's going to be January 22nd through April 2nd. All the details at BobbySlayton.com. Pitbull of Comedy is your Twitter address, and that's what you are to us. Thanks, Bobby. We appreciate you coming
in. Thanks, guys, for having me.
That's Phoenix on the K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ at 946.
And now, a moment with the dude from The Social Network.
Is a film dealing with themes as old as storytelling itself. Okay, here we go. Inspiringly written.
That was a moment with the dude from The Social Network.
See, that's Spider-Man, too. That's Andrew Garfield. Mm-hmm. Just not having a great night at the Golden Globes the other night. All right, you're listening to Kevin Bean Show. Ralph is here with our final look at the showbiz beat on a Tuesday. What's happening?
It is a Tuesday. That means new CDs and DVDs are available for your purchase if you're so inclined for some new entertainment. Here's what you can get. James Blunt's got a new CD called Some Kind of Trouble. New Pearl Jam, Live on 10 Legs. You can pick that up. White Lies have a new CD called Ritual. You can check that out. New Aquabats. High Five Soup, it's called.
Yeah, I have a clip.
Oh, do you have the new Aquabats?
Yeah.
Great.
Different sound for them.
I thought when we all killed Kevin with that blanket party that those clips would go away. But
I
no.
Too. I was surprised.
Apparently they're going to live on.
Sorry.
I feel bad now. I'm sorry we murdered him because that's what the reason we all killed him was those clips.
You couldn't let it just breathe for a day, Mike. You had to force that in.
You don't like Chuck Robert 2?
Social Distortion's got a new CD called Hard Times and Nursery Rhymes.
I have a clip of that if you'd like to hear.
Sure. Takers, the movie starring Paul Walker and Hayden Christensen, is available today on DVD. Stone, starring Edward Norton, Mila Jovovich, and Robert De Niro.
Wow.
I know. What a cast. And
what a cast.
That movie sank like a stone. I don't remember anyone really going to see it.
And I heard it was very good. Remember, we had Mia on and we had Edward Norton on, too, and it sounded like a really good movie.
Death Race 2 with Ving Rhames. That's available on DVD today. It might be a straight-to-DVD-er, as far as I know. And Paper Man, starring Ryan Reynolds, Emma Stone, Jeff Daniels, and Lisa Kudrow. What? Huh? Where do these films come from?
I have a clip of that movie.
They drop through from an alternate dimension.
It does.
Actually, that was straight-to-DVD, but it was highly critically acclaimed. I have a clip.
Just play it.
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of something for me, man. Yeah, I got these guys. I want you to double-cross for me.
You done? TV on DVD, Justified. That series over on FX comes back for a second season soon. Its first season is available on DVD. And Hey Vern, it's Ernest, the complete series.
You can check that out.
Know what I mean, Vern?
I'm so glad Kevin's not listening right now, because now I can get that for him for his birthday coming up.
There
it'll be a big surprise.
No.
I love that.
Regis Philbin's leaving his morning talk show live with Regis and Kelly. It's been a long time, Reed said this morning. It's been 28 years since I've been here, and it was the biggest thrill of my life. Kelly Ripa said, I wish I could do something to change your mind, she said, especially since Psycho Mike's going to be co-hosting with me next week, she said. So we can all check that out. Do you know when you're going to be on next week?
I love Oreo cookies.
Yeah. I do not know which day. I will find out later today, and I'll let you guys know.
Well, we're looking forward to it enormously.
I can think of one thing Kelly can do to keep Regis around that would motivate him to stay, but probably can't talk about
that. That's the kind of comedy you're bringing to the show next week?
January Jones and Jason Sudeikis of SNL have split up, apparently. They've been seeing each other for 6 months, and now their relationship is over. January Jones is available. Did you see her in that dress at the Golden Globes?
Yes, I did.
That's provocative.
It was
okay.
Provocative. Apparently, the trouble stems from her working on the West Coast, him doing Saturday Live on the East Coast, not enough time together, and it's an old story.
I don't care.
I'm sorry. I hate to break your heart, Bean, but there will not be a Justin Bieber-themed superstore here in Los Angeles anytime soon. Apparently,
what?
There were rumors that there was going to be a Bieber boutique opening at the Grove Shopping Center here in Los Angeles, but reps for Justin said today that it was just the planning stages and it's not going to go any further. So no big what? Bieber store for you to shop in.
How much time does he have left on his teen idol clock, do you think?
Could go on a long time.
They don't last very long. Yeah. I mean, there is the rare, you know, Justin Timberlake or something like that who goes on to become an adult star. But most of them, about this time, you know, they're done.
He's got his big 3D movie coming out, though.
Right.
So at least that much longer.
Ugh. And he's got no charisma at all, that kid, by the way.
Did you see him? He's kind of a dick.
You see him at the Golden Globes? I mean, he looks like he's just, he's barely competent.
But he's cocky on top of it, which is always
right.
a good mix.
Right.
So no charm in being cocky. Arnold Schwarzenegger says he may have found his first movie role since leaving the governor's office here in California. It's a film called With Wings as Eagles. It's a dramatic film, and he will play a German soldier in World War II who disobeys his commanding officers in order to rescue some American prisoners of war.
That's real talk right there, man.
Arnold said he's too old now for action films, so he's going to concentrate more on acting. Joy. Now we got something to look forward to.
Well, that's his strength, I think, is just dialogue.
Arnold in a serious Holocaust movie? Oh, my dreams are starting to come true. I couldn't be more excited. And Guns N' Roses said you won't see any of their songs on Glee anytime soon. Entertainment Weekly talked to Axl Rose and Slash, and they said they were both approached by the producers of Glee in order to have their shows featured. And Slash said he and Axl don't agree on much, but they agreed on this. Slash sounds like Omar when he talks about Glee in this interview. Glee is worse than Grease, and Grease is bad enough, he said. When Grease came out, I was like, oh, come on, give me a break. Actually, I look at Grease now and think between High School Musical and Glee, Grease was a brilliant work of art. So no GNR songs on Glee anytime soon.
I don't think that would be a good fit anyway. Do you?
Welcome to the jungle.
Hey.
Turn your mic on there, sport.
I'm on fire. Maybe Sweet Child of Mine, but I mean, no. It's not necessary.
Where do we go? Where do we go now? A bunch of gay guys singing that? That'd be awesome. Yeah. Today's celebrity birthday is Jason Segel's 31 years old today. Jay Chou.
Hey!
Plays Kato in the Green Hornet movie. He is 32 years old today. DJ Quick turns 41. Dave Attell from Insomniac on Comedy Central. Very funny comedian. 46 years old. Kevin Costner turns 56 years old. And Jonathan Davis, singer for Korn, celebrates his 40th birthday. Here's Jonathan singing about his birthday. Sweet. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. And thank you for joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We got an all-new program for you tomorrow, including a new edition of Bean's Death Corner. Also, the Internet Roundup will be here tomorrow. Adam Carolla stops by. He's got This Week in Rage. We're going to talk to listeners who have been, a caller this morning made reference to the fact that he had been fired from a job once, and he didn't give us the details, but for having sex. And we started thinking about there are lots of different ways that having sex could get you fired. Having sex at work, for instance.
Yeah.
Having sex with the wrong person. Having sex instead of going to work. I mean, those are just three that come to mind. So we're going to be taking your calls tomorrow if you got fired for having sex. Also, our friend Steve-O is going to be stopping by to talk about his upcoming comedy on stage. And we'll be talking to Steven Tyler, one of the new judges on the new season of American Idol that debuts tomorrow night. So that's all tomorrow right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Don't go away. Kat Corbett's up next. She's got 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including some Black Keys for you. Also, that brand-new song that we world premiered last night on Stryker's show. It's Rise Against, Help is on the Way. That's coming up. Red Hot Chili Peppers, Nirvana, Mumford & Sons, and more straight ahead right after this on K-Rock.